ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, September 26, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters. 40 days until the presidential election, and we have a lot to cover today. You want to talk about the fastest 3 hours on the internet? You're going to be talking about the InfoWars War Room. I got a ton of news. I'll be lucky if I can get to all of it. I got a ton of video clips. I'll be lucky if I can get to all of them. We are loaded with guests today. We got Robert J. O'Neill in studio. That's going to be a great interview. I already had things I wanted to talk to him about because I've listened to him on other podcasts, other shows. He's great on air. He was just on the Alex Jones show, and I think it probably went a direction people didn't expect it to. So I already kind of know where I want to go, and it was kind of good because they didn't get too much into it with his interview earlier. So that's going to be fun. Then we've got Andy Armbruster joining us. This was the individual who was shooting film in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and he's part of a group that's exposing the situation with the Haitian migrants there. But he was the one shooting the film, showing all the buses, taking them to all the jobs. So we're going to go boots on the ground, figure out what's going on in Charleroi, Pennsylvania with the illegal immigrants. We have former New York Police Department Sal Greco joining us. He's going to be telling us about the Eric Adams situation, and now we do have the indictment and an understanding of the charges. And so we'll kind of get into that with him, and I'll tell you about it. There's kind of three or four schools of thought, actually, on that development. So we'll be covering that. Then we're going to go to New York to Adam Francisco. You asked, we delivered. Adam Francisco is going to be coming on the show. He goes right out on the streets and talks to people about their political opinions. Donald Trump, Democrats, Republicans, what have you. Let's get a feel for New York, shall we? Let's get a feel for New York, especially with what's going on with Eric Adams, too. I wonder if New York's in play. And so we'll talk about that, too. And maybe if I have time, really, I think I need to do an electoral map update and show you kind of where everything stands right now, where it stands if we actually had a fair election with no cheating, but we don't. So where it stands, given that there will be cheating. And so maybe we kind of look at that today as well if we have the time. But we got a ton of guests and we got a ton of news. Look, they completely skipped over this story. I can't believe I didn't even see it till today. You already knew this. I already knew this. But now we have the actual transcripts, the actual communications via a House investigation. Yes, indeed. Donald Trump had meetings, including with military generals, and said, we need at least 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol and Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And who stood it down? General Milley? Democrat Mayor Muriel Bowser, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So we already knew that was the case. Now we have the transcripts and the meeting documents of Donald Trump demanding extra security, at least 10,000 National Guard, and the Democrats stood it down. Where's the mainstream media? We also had a hearing today from the special committee on the assassination of Donald Trump. Pretty much got ignored. In fact, most members didn't even show up. That's how serious they're taking that. Oh, but don't worry. We got more money. We got $8 billion for Israel. We got more money coming for Ukraine. We got all that. It's going to be an absolutely loaded show, ladies and gentlemen. The fastest 3 hours on the internet. Start now. 39 days, 8 hours, 53 minutes until Election Day. And of course, this is your election headquarters. The InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. We got excellent guests coming up. I already thought the show was loaded. Then I looked down And I saw Donald Trump is going to be having a press conference in New York City today. So we got even more on the docket. We got even more on the docket. Now, I would be remiss if we at least weren't thinking of our friends in Florida today. It looks like this hurricane is going to be at least a Category 3 when it makes landfall. It's kind of heading towards the Florida panhandle, but it's going to make landfall probably somewhere between Tampa and Panama City. And this thing is definitely going to bring a lot of rain, hopefully not too much damage. But this is probably going to be at least a Category 3. And it was actually looking like it was going to head up towards Texas and Louisiana. And then it got hit with a high-pressure system that came down from Idaho and through the southwest, and then it pushed east. And so now it's definitely going to make landfall in Florida. So I would be remiss if we weren't thinking of our great friends and audience members in Florida today. Stay safe. If it were me, I'd probably just get the hell out of there. But if you're going to be hunkering down, please stay safe. And if you're still tuning in to the InfoWars War Room while at it, well then, more power to you. But that's the update there. And it's kind of hard for me not to. It's just get ready for 50 different members of the media at 50 different beaches telling you the exact same thing. So that's what you're going to get in this pivotal time before our election. Now, we're going to be joined here shortly by a great American, Robert J. O'Neill, and I was surprised. I didn't know he was going to be in studio today, and I was told this morning, and I was excited because I already followed his work and seen him on a bunch of other podcasts, and he said things that have never left me. And so it's exciting to have him in studio, so I'm really looking forward to that. I got so much news today, too. It's just ridiculous. Let me just kind of lay this out, and then we're going to get our guest in studio. Here's the big story, and I think in the third hour is when I will do my Electoral College map update, because there's been a lot of developments since the last time we did it, and as I've said, this election is actually not going to be won or lost at the voting booth. It's just not. It's going to be won in the courts. Bing. Here's an example. And who's had Trump winning North Carolina this whole time? North Carolina removes 747 illegal voters from the voter rolls. Fresh off the presses today. So I already had Trump winning North Carolina. Now it's going to be probably a massive victory. And this is also good for Mark Robinson running for governor. So this is big for North Carolina. I think a Republican sweep is in order. Now, there's some other developing stories in some of these other states. And really, the fight is on in Arizona and Pennsylvania. Probably they'll steal Wisconsin and Michigan. There's been a big victory in Nevada where they've removed 100,000 illegal voters. So it's all this. This is really what's impacting the final results of the election. Now, I got some other stuff that we can look at today as well that will play into all of this. But that's where it's going to be won or lost, right there. Will we be counting illegal votes? Will we be counting mail-in ballots that don't even have a voter signature like they did in 2020? That's where this is going to be won or lost. So we'll expand on that. We'll also get into the Trump assassination attempts. Maybe my guest would like to talk about that. They had a hearing today. It was pretty much a nothing burger. Most members of the committee didn't even show up. So that's fun. So we got that going on. But I want you to hear directly from Alex Jones right now. Status update on InfoWars. And on the other side of that, my guest in studio, Robert J. O'Neill. You're not going to want to miss this interview. I'm looking forward to it myself. And so he joins us next after this message from Alex Jones.
I've been on air for 30 plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials. All an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. The WEF says officially the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and in God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now you see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the families. They're $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. Because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. Thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
Wait, that was news to you? News, this is breaking news, Robert J. O'Neill in studio. Alex had to say earlier when he was on his show, he's like, I'm a little crazy.
A little bit.
And you said, oh, I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
You got to be a little crazy to work here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a meme, right? It's like, you got to be a little crazy.
I think the thing is, you're not crazy. You're normal. Like this, you're
crazy like a fox.
You're real.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's an interesting point is, being real, it sounds crazy. It's like being fake. You know, to me, I look at Kamala Harris and I'm like, that's crazy. Like anybody that supports that is crazy. That's as phony as it gets. But yet some people see that and they're like, oh my gosh. Oh, it's like they love the phoniness.
I can't. What blows my mind too, like we were talking about just off the air, just being real. I can't get in my mind that for some reason there's an epidemic of women who are dying because they can't get abortions. I didn't know that.
Oh, don't even get me started
on that. What is that?
I got this video today. I, you know. so much, if people could just understand how the leftist propaganda works,
that's all it is.
It might not be as effective. Like, look at reproductive rights. This is what you're talking about. I got this video. It's reproductive rights. Hold on a second. Words have meaning. What does reproduce mean? Like, what does that mean, mm-hmm. reproductive rights? That would mean, like, where they used to have laws in China where you could only have two kids.
Yeah.
So reproductive rights would be to say, no, I can have three kids or four kids. I can have as many kids. That would be reproductive rights. With them, it's the exact opposites.
No, it's, you know, it's nuts to own, and we go on, I talk about different stuff that we didn't know we're going to talk about. What blows my mind, too, is I'm a father of four daughters, and there's never been a moment where it's like, oh, I'm going to give up your life so I can live. That's nonsense. I would die for my kids. And you get these women, or not women, you get these politicians that say, well, for the health of the mother, we're going to kill the kid. No mother I know would do that.
And that's
like the opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus died for us.
Plus, the instances where the mother's actual physical health is at risk is obviously a very small percentage of these abortions.
It's non-existent.
It's like less than 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Cernovich said something on his X today that I think was a great way of framing this and kind of the cultural landscape. And it said, we need to kind of normalize. And it's actually, this is normal in a lot of other cultures around the world, specifically Hispanic cultures, where your daughters need to understand that if you do get pregnant, don't think that abortion is your option. We will take care of the grandkid. Yeah. I mean, that they need to have that pressure. It's like a pressure release. I've never heard anybody say that before. And I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like that understanding. I've never seen a situation, and I bet you would say the same thing. I had friends that got pregnant at a young age in high school. Parents stepped in. I know people that are my age have kids, and the parents step in and help however. That's normal. That's what people want. They don't want their grandkids to not exist. It's like, where is that part of our culture?
The culture is real. When you start getting into the politics and the social media nonsense, that's when you start believing the nonsense. Most people are good. Most people want to have kids, and most grandparents want to have grandkids.
Absolutely.
But the way they just say, "Oh, there's the women are dying because they can't get a," no, they're not. We're going up.
So this is actually kind of a nice little soft way to get into this. Here's when I saw that you were in studio today, I was really excited because whenever somebody says something that's like just really poignant and it sticks in me, that's like, wow. Now, and you've had a couple instances on other podcasts you've been on that you've said that. And I want to really get into one thing because, especially in kind of conservative politics, we want to be the patriotic side. We are the patriotic side, but we want to support our military. We want to support our veterans. And I think there's kind of a lot of things that come with that that make it difficult to have real conversations. And one of the things that I talk about, and it's actually gotten more comfortable the more I talk to veterans about this, is it's kind of viewed as anti-military or even anti-patriotic to say, hey, our military is used for evil, or hey, you know, the people that put their name and their lives on the dotted line are being used for purposes that aren't doing anything for America. And I heard you on a podcast, I think it was a month or so ago, where you were basically saying, you know, I look back and I'm thinking, I was going and fighting. I was putting my lives on the line. I was killing people. And now I wonder, who was I doing it for? What was I doing it for? Talk about that process. And I mean, really, is it difficult to have that conversation?
It's very difficult because at the time, all I knew when I was a Navy SEALs, I knew Navy SEALs, I knew their families, I knew bartenders. And then we would go around the world and kill people. And that was normal. That's just what we did, almost to a point where we were in competition who could kill more people. But the further, it was normal at the time, but I call it like the 7-year itch. The further you get away from it, you start to realize that some of the people that I killed, I only killed them simply because they were born on a different part of the planet than I was. And I almost wonder, would I have gotten along with them had I not met them at that spot?
That's exactly what you said that stuck in my head.
Yeah, there's a guy I think of every single day. There's one guy I think of every single day. He was the second guy I killed in this house. I was the number one man going into a house. I think it was his brother or his friend. I killed him, went into a room, did a one-man entry, which you shouldn't do, and I killed a guy in front of his wife. And I think about him every day because why did I kill him? Well, he went for a gun. Why did he go for a gun? Well, because I'm in his room. Why am I in his room? Because George Bush told us to come here. And that's it. He went for a gun to protect his family. I mean, then I killed him because he went for I actually looked at the guy and said, don't do it. And he did it, and I killed him. I think about him and I wonder, had I met him somewhere else, would it have been different? If I met him over coffee in Paris, would he have had a joke? And that's what I wonder. And he's a guy fighting for Iraq or for the Mujahideen or whatever. I'm fighting for the United States. But why? Who brought us there? Saddam Hussein brought him there. Osama bin Laden brought him there. George Bush or Dick Cheney brought me here. Here we are. And then we're killing each other in front of his family.
Well, and that's...
He's a bad guy. There's no doubt in my mind he's a bad guy. But could it have... This is... And I think about him all the time, every single day.
Well, and it's kind of a more palatable way to have that conversation or to face that conversation. Because, again, it's a difficult thing to kind of face and talk about, especially, again, in conservative media. It's like, hey, we don't want to be viewed as anti-military, anti-patriotic, anti-veteran. But it's like when you put it like that, it kind of humanizes it. And look, we all want to be anti-war. We all want to be anti-peace.
We should be.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've learned, too. The more I talk to veterans, you know, they're not the people in Washington, D.C.
No.
Now, some of them, you know, like a Dan Crenshaw seems to love it. But they're not the people in Washington, D.C. all about war. It's the people that just sit in their offices in D.C. that are voting for war. Most of them have never been to war. They don't know what it looks like.
Well, and a lot of them fake it. Look at Lindsey Graham.
I think he's faking a lot of things.
Well, yeah, and the first
like
thing—
Like being straight.
I mean, he's as gay as a stack of strawberry pancakes, I can tell you. But we're at a point now where we're saying, yeah, another assassination attempt on President Trump. And the first thing Lindsey Graham says is Iran. It was Iran. You know why? Because he gets a lot of money if we go to war with Iran. That's it. Iran had nothing to do with it. But the guys like Lindsey Graham, the military-industrial complex, is real. When I was 27 years old in SEAL Team 6, I would have fought Canada. I want to go to war. But now that I look back at it, why are we actually going to war? It's the bankers, the lobbyists, the politicians, the people in power that want to stay in power. And people who have been to war don't want to go to war. One of my best friends, Dakota Meyer, I wrote a book with him called The Way Forward. And he killed a guy with a rock, like face to face. And he said he...
Like caveman style?
Straight up. And he said he's looking him in the eyes and we both know what's about to happen. And then he killed him with a rock. I mean, how do you live with that? And that's real. Because people sent us over there. Now, Afghanistan is different than Iraq, but it all comes down to two people, one born in the Korangal Valley, one born in Texas. And here we are, and I'm killing you with a rock. And that does not, that doesn't go away easily, and you have to live with that every single night. Lindsey Graham's never killed a guy with a rock. He's been intimate with guys, but he hasn't killed one.
Just say he might have been killed, bent over a couch somewhere, but that's a different story.
And speaking of going different, yeah.
We can get into that later. Man, I got so many follow-ups with that, with another thing you said, but, you know, I would ask you, because I think when I look at veterans and people that have, you know, stress and trauma after going to war, I think a lot of it is mental, in that they don't know how to face the realities that you face. They don't know how to deal with the realities that you've dealt with. And you seem to handle it well. I mean, you seem to be able to talk about it openly. You can sit here and even have a laugh about it. But do you think that a lot of the people that come back from Afghanistan, Iraq, do you think it's that realization of, man, what did I really put my name on the dotted line for? What did I really put my life on the line for? What did I really kill that guy for? Do you think that adds to a lot of the stress?
It does, but I think men and women need to realize, when it comes down to it, like I was just saying, face-to-face, it's not about the politicians, not about D.C., it's about the person next to you. So the veterans that fought for the person next to them, and they should never think their service wasn't worth it. They did a great job. They did what they should do. But I have a platform. I can talk about PTSD. A lot of veterans don't. And my job, considering some of the infantrymen and women, they had it harder than I did. I was able to fight at night, and my gunfights were maybe 30 seconds long. Think about the people that were driving a Humvee in Kandahar, in Helmand Province, and all they're thinking for 10 straight months is, am I going to blow up now? Am I going to blow up now? Am I going to blow up now? And that sticks with them. And that's stress that a lot of these veterans went that –
And then you're basically in a firefight, circle the wagons and do like a dust cover or something.
Well, I mean, it's almost like, too, is at least this is an ending. Like, dying now would help. But then you come back home and all of a sudden you're back home. So there was a lot asked of us. And I think a lot of the veterans that deal with the PTSD, and I don't call it PTSD, I call it PTS, but post-traumatic stress. It's there, and you don't even need to be a veteran to have post-traumatic stress. But a lot of people deal with it too. And like right now, we're just talking about it, but it's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to be depressed. But one of the things with the psychedelic treatment that I do right now, the DMT that Ibogaine, is it teaches you that it's okay, and it's okay to love yourself. And a lot of people aren't willing to say that. And like, suicide rate's high for a lot of veterans. come back.
Well, this is a conversation that you and Alex kind of got into, and I would maybe lean more into that direction of it, and we can get into that in the next segment. But, you know, what I realized when I was younger and in college, and I was just more interested in psychology, and I saw friends of mine that would do the pharmaceutical drugs and how badly it would hurt them. I mean, it would just hurt them. I mean, I could see it. I could see a friend of mine from high school gets involved in pharmaceutical drugs. He's different now versus either the experience that I had or that I saw other people have, maybe just eating mushrooms or even just smoking marijuana or something like that. I mean, I could see the difference. And then I could see how, well, if you're telling somebody to deal with some anxiety or some problem they have in their head, and you're giving them a pharmaceutical drug that's only going to hurt them versus maybe experiencing or experimenting with something that probably won't do long-term damage or definitely won't do long-term damage, but might actually help them, you realize right there, oh, I can grow this outside. I can go to the woods. I can go to a forest and get this. These people are making millions of dollars.
That's the catch right there is with the pharmaceuticals. They don't really care if it's helping you. They care if they're making money. And that's part of the reason I began DMT, psilocybin. They're not legal because no one's getting rich and it's a cure. Well, when you're taking antidepressants and stuff like that, someone's still getting rich. You become addicted to them. But this stuff here it's real. It's natural. Like Ibogaine is a plant from Gabon. And you scrape the plant, you take the medicine, and then it's 50 hours of hell. But then for me personally, it cures me for, I'm about 7 weeks. It should be 4 months. Some guys get cured overnight. Everything.
Well, and it's kind of like, and again, you guys were talking about this earlier. The people that get on the pharmaceutical drugs, they need it every day. They get addicted to it. Somebody that eats, let's say, an eighth of mushrooms, they eat that. They deal with the actual issues in their head. And they're like, oh, no, I don't want that. I don't need that again. Maybe like once a year or something, but it's like, that's the difference. It's like, that's like a long-term type of thing versus every day I need to take this pill.
Yeah. No, these plant-based medicines they can cure you. And it is months and months of like, I stopped taking all my other medication just because everything was fine.
Oh, I'm sure the VA was worried about you then. Now all of a sudden, now the VA is interested after that. Hey, we got a short break. We'll be right back. I have seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers live. About as good as it gets.
Good rock. Stones.
Don't get me started on live music. Don't get me started on
Avenged Sevenfold. Don't let me go there. I'm telling you, those guys are insane.
Avenged Sevenfold. That's one I haven't seen yet.
Dude, sick. Really good.
All right, this is going to be. Let's.
What are we going to talk about?
All right, are we going to be best friends after this? Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know, this is how I knew we were back. I knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel because in the year 2024. Limp Bizkit and Creed both went back on tour.
Creed, I just saw them a week ago in Dallas. I'm going to see them on Monday in Connecticut. And my boy Tim...
Was that not incredible?
Dude, Creed crushed.
Oh my gosh.
Crushed it.
Scott Stapp is still...
You know what?
They're better than they've ever been.
He followed me on Instagram. I know I made it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Look, I'm just going to say, I know for a fact Scott Stapp is a huge patriot.
Dude, you should see them live.
I saw him in Houston.
You in Connecticut.
That's what I saw you. I saw him in Houston. Right. It was incredible.
Creed, amazing.
If they come to your town, go see the tour. You will
New
not
Haven,
regret
Connecticut
it.
On Monday, and Tim Montana's opening. If you haven't downloaded Tim Montana,
that's great. You're doing the Creed tour.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Not even on purpose. Like I'm just showing up. Like I'm a groupie. Fuck it. Oh, sorry.
That's only one. That's only one.
Sorry about that. I'll knock it off.
No, it's all good. I told you, as long as it's not four within 20 seconds.
That's it. I'm normally a professional.
All right. All right. Let's not go off on this because I could talk live music with you all day long. Okay. We talked about how you handle it. You know, here's one interesting thing about the military I'd like to kind of get your opinion on. The military culture has changed a lot over the years. And I think that there used to be two types of people that would join the military. There was kind of like the group of patriotic types or types that just want to go kill people. And then you had the kind of lineage types, father, grandfather, were military. And you kind of had those two types. And usually, for the most part, that would maintain some pretty good integrity amongst the military. But there's a third type of person that enters the military now, and that's the person that's just in for the benefits. That's the person that's literally just in there for a job, in there for the benefits, tuition, whatever comes with it. They're not actually kind of this classical military type. What do you think that dynamic has done to military culture, or do you agree that that is kind of the situation?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think a lot of people join the military just based on I need to get out of town. Like a lot of people that I met when I joined that, of course, that's back in 1996.
Like they want to tour the world.
I just want to leave town. I need to get out of the Bronx. I need to get out of Butte, Montana. I need to leave South Florida. And we all just end up in the Navy on accident. Like I tried to join the Marine Corps. A lot of Marines became Marines because they tried to join the Army, but the recruiter wasn't there. And a lot of people just get in, a lot of men and women. I met women that joined because they got dumped by a dude and they just joined the Army. And I think I don't necessarily, the benefit thing is there, but I don't think a lot of people just join for that. It does get put out there, like you're seeing stuff like if you join, you can get your transgender surgery or whatever. I don't think a lot of people do that. But I think at the enlisted level and at like the academy type level, there are still great people. The problem is the leadership sucks. It's very bureaucratic. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to figure
out. Very political.
You got to look at a lot of general officers, admirals and generals. They become Democrats because they know they want to work for Lockheed. Like they, as soon as they get out there, one of my big sayings in the military is once you stop carrying your own luggage, you need to get out. And so a lot of these admirals, they're so disconnected because they become politicians. Not all of them, but some of them do. And then they just, they're trying to get their job at whatever, you know, DynCorp or whatever they're going to do. And I love these companies. Like when I needed to call in missiles, I'm so happy that some of these engineers designed the missiles that I can drop on people. But I think the military is still good. I know we have the best Navy in the world. We're prepared to fight China, but the problem is when you get to the political level, it turns into the nonsense that I think it's more of a talking point to distract us from what's actually happening. I know our Navy can crush people. Our Marines are the best infantry in the world next to our Army, which is, you know, our best Air Force is the Air Force and our best Air Force is the Navy. So we got some great people there. Just you start getting into the politics. Like I think that our military leadership, including the Pentagon, needs to move out of D.C. Like the Pentagon is worthless. It needs to be gone. It's a five-sided wind tunnel. Needs to go away.
Completely agree. And the State Department as well.
Ridiculously stupid.
And, you know, when you think about the politics, there's an image, and I'm sure you've probably seen this too, that I think really shows where you're at. And this is kind of where it goes when communism takes over, fallen state, corrupt government, is you've got General Milley up there. I don't know how much actual combat he's seen or hasn't seen.
Zero.
Yeah. Well, he's got 10,000.
Yeah, but here's what you
got
to do.
I mean, he's got a chest full of medals.
All right.
Dwight D. Eisenhower has like three.
Well, he was one of his top three. But I'll tell you right now, whenever you look at someone in uniform, check closest to their heart. Is there a V on there for valor? And if there's not, then don't listen to him. Those are administrative awards. Great job typing. Great job running PT. No, if there's no V, you didn't fight. Even a Bronze Star, you know, a Bronze Star is also an admin award. I have four Bronze Stars with valor because I fought the enemy. There are Bronze Stars without valor, which I personally wouldn't wear. I think it's an insult. And then I have two Silver Stars. They don't come with valor. It's just assumed gallantry. But if you don't see a V up there anywhere, that they didn't fight.
So that's kind of the tell.
Yeah. But with the three ribbons, by the way, you can wear your top three, which is fine. But my top three, two of them are Silver Stars and then more Valor.
I just see these guys that have never been in combat and they've got 10,000 medals on
their
chest.
Look at the one closest to their heart. If there's no V, don't take them serious. They don't know what they're talking about.
So, but these are the guys that are making the decisions. You know, these are the guys that are kind of making the calls.
Yeah. Mark Milley was the highest ranking officer in the military. And he did toe the party line. I don't know him. I don't want to talk bad about him. I know he was going with the white supremacy and all this. I don't understand it. I disagree with him. He's playing politics. Again, I don't like to talk trash about people I've never met. And I have never met Mark Milley. So I don't agree with a lot of stuff he was saying. Because, you know, where's he working now? How many millions is he making now?
Well, and it came out from the House committee. They got the transcript now. It was Milley who was one of the three decision makers. It was Milley, Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., and Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House at the time. When Trump requested 10,000 yeah. National Guard troops, yeah. Milley was one of the ones that said no.
Right, yeah. And when I go to war, I think Nancy Pelosi. Again, not saying the F word. Just a horrible person.
If you need motivation at the gym.
Isn't that crazy, though, to think like these anti-war people, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, man, they love war in Ukraine, though, don't they? They love that. You know why?
They've never had enough war.
Well, I tell you what, they're getting paid. That's
absolutely.
You ever notice that no California politicians ever mention China? Why is that? Because they're on the take.
Well, hold on now. Nancy Pelosi's husband sold more than $500,000 worth of Visa stock just before the antitrust lawsuit.
That's crazy how
isn't
well
that amazing?
How well these congressmen and their families are stock pickers, man. They
wouldn't nail you it. Like to know Nancy Pelosi's stock moves?
I would actually let her pick my stocks because
just give her the money. Nancy, you're my hedge fund manager now. you manage my stock portfolio.
Yeah.
Just go ahead
yeah.
because you've done well.
She just seems like such a great person, doesn't she?
Nobody wants to call her out, though.
Well, they're afraid of her.
We know how Trump made his money.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, well, Trump made his money before. Like, a lot of politicians come in here poor and they become millionaires. No, they call themselves public servants, which is a joke. Trump was rich before. He doesn't need that job. I had dinner with him one time in California, and I asked him why he works so hard, and he said, I don't have a choice anymore. Like, I don't have a choice. I have to do this.
Was this when he was president?
Yes. Yeah. And I had dinner with him at the White House, too. He showed me the Lincoln bedroom. Pretty cool.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, I can't imagine. I mean, I've met some politicians.
He's not a politician.
You can tell from some of these videos. There's this one that just came out, or like there was the bodega one. This one that just came out. Yeah. He goes to a small grocery store in Pennsylvania and get to the bag of popcorn. Like, you can tell
that was funny.
He's like a personable guy. Yeah. Like, you feel like you can get around him and it's like, this is normal. You know, with Kamala, it's like everything is phony. Everything is fake.
It's scripted. I mean, look at the rallies. Okay. When you go to a Donald Trump rally, there's cars, there's parking lots, whatever. You go to Kamala, there's nothing but buses.
Lines of them.
Why are the buses there? It's almost like they're being bussed in.
They are. They brag about it.
I ran into protesters outside of a major news network. They go there every Thursday from 8 to 5, and I asked them why, and they go, well, $50 is $50. The Soroses are paying them. Show up, badmouth Trump, leave at 5, quitting time. That's what they do.
Seriously. They might get a little bag lunch, too.
Yeah, they do.
Bag of chips. Yeah. You know. Some health food for him. All right. One more serious question about military stuff. Here's the way I look at it, and I want to know what your take on this is. We have a big military. We have a strong military. There's no doubt. But we're spread out all over the world, and I don't know how much that really serves the purposes of the United States. When I look at the military being involved, if let's say we decide to get directly involved and we're kind of shadow involved in Ukraine— but directly involved or more directly involved again in the Middle East, I sit here and I say, if we're going to have this military force, they need to be on our southern border. That's where our military is needed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we're being invaded. And the reason I'm voting for Trump is simply because of the invasion that's happening, because I fought al-Qaeda in a lot of different countries overseas because I didn't want to fight him here, and now they're here. And I tell people, even when I ask them who they're voting for, have you ever been in a room with al-Qaeda? Do you want three of those dudes in your house? When we defunded the police, you don't have guns and they're in your house. You know what they're going to do to your family in front of you? You don't want to know. You don't want 1 minute in my head of knowing what they are. They're real. They're coming. And we need to close the border and mass deportations, because it's not the family that's coming here to get the jobs that no one wants. The Haitians that get the jobs that no one wants. It's al-Qaeda. It's ISIS. It's Islamic Jihad. They're here. And when it happens again, just like on 9/12, we're going to have politicians on the floor or the steps of the house singing Kumbaya, because how did this happen? Well, you know how it happened? Because the State Department, CIA, the FBI, you guys are all in on it. And it's all personal. Follow the money, follow the power, and they're going to hit us. We have the clocks. They have the time. And just because you don't think you're at war with them doesn't mean they're not at war with you. And they're coming. I can't say that enough. I love to have fun. I love to joke. This is very serious. And well, kind of look, the next guy I kill will be in my own house. I'm not afraid of that. I'm just worried about the normal person. When al-Qaeda shows up, what will you do? And you're going to need guys like me.
Well, and it's the largest invasion in the history of the world. It literally is, by the numbers. And they like to put these bells and whistles, oh, asylum, or oh, refugee, bull crap.
It's votes.
Bull crap. Asylum means you're going into the country that's your next door neighbor because you need safety and protection. You're not getting on a 747 and getting flown
to the northern border.
Yeah, like that's not asylum. It's beyond invasion. That's human trafficking.
Follow the money. That's all they care about, especially Democrats, but most politicians, all they care about is getting the votes. That's all they want is the votes. They'll even insult certain groups of people saying, well, you're not smart enough to use the internet, so just go ahead and you don't need an ID. Like all that nonsense. It's so they can stay in power. And once the savages show up at their house, they kick them out. Once they show up in New York on Martha's Vineyard.
They did it. Well, they had a 24-hour champagne ceremony.
And we're going to help them with their journey.
And then they brought in the buses.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like, oh, they're popping bottles. Look, we love the migrants so much. And then the next day, bye.
Yeah, bye. And I got to go back to my lunches and my tea. Yeah, it's infuriating. And I think the thing that bothers me the most, too, is like I said, I went to fight them over there, so I didn't have to fight them here. And now they're here. They're just here. I'm going to fight him again. You're going to hear about me killing someone in my own house.
No, it's actually, I think it's worse than people realize. And it's just a numbers game. When you bring in 15 million, that's what we know of in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
The number might be closer to 20.
Well, they've hoodwinked them too, because what these TikToks and whatever, what they're doing is saying, hey, come to the United States and get jobs. And then they show up, there's no jobs. But they're here now.
Well, they find jobs. Like,
well, they're going to take it. Yeah.
There was a video. I got it today. There's a manufacturing plant, of course, Springfield, Ohio. Imagine that. I mean, how insulting. A factory job, and this isn't meant to be insulting, but like a factory job is like a job that usually an American that, you know, maybe doesn't want to go into academia or doesn't want to just, he just wants to have a job where he can go, yeah, put in his hours, work with his hands, and go home to his home and his family. That's it. He just wants to live that simple life. That used to be just bottom line America. Hey, if I need to work, I can go to the factory downtown. I can have a job. They shipped it all over to China. And now the jobs that they do have here, they're literally giving to the Haitian immigrants. Guys, just B-roll the clip here, clip 14. So the factory owner literally says, oh, this is great. I can replace my American workers with these Haitians. I mean, here, I'll steal one out of your book. What the fuck?
Yeah. But at least they'll eat your cats. And
nice rotisserie.
The crazy thing about that, too, is when you say, hey, they're eating our pets, the Democrats go, nuh-uh. It's like, well, no, they are. No, they're not.
That's what we deal with. It's insane.
Well, again, too, in this country, too, people don't realize different cultures are different cultures. And this is just survival. There are places like Venezuela, which used to be one of the richest countries in the world. They go to the zoo to eat animals now because of what? Socialism. And you can vote your way into socialism. You got to shoot your way out. That's just how it works every single time. But you can't backhand professors in college enough to tell them what in the world is wrong with you. And an idiot in a room taught by an idiot in a room is teaching these idiots in a room that have never been anywhere. And all it is, well, no, Trump's evil.
That's the whole Kamala Harris campaign strategy.
Well, joy.
That's the whole Kamala Harris campaign.
How about when liberals say, well, we're just happy? No, you're not. You're miserable.
Misery loves company. They got to make you miserable with them.
Crazy, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, and hey, look, we have, this is what's so frustrating, too. It's like everything they say, you have to hit it with a mirror and then you get the truth. We have an immigration system. If Haitians want to come here and work,
fine,
go through the process. It's that simple.
What we need to do, too, what you hear Democrats saying is we're defending democracy. Look, we are not a democracy, but what you need to defend is the Constitution. We are a constitutional republic, and people need to realize that. We don't vote on every – I wish we could vote on every item, but we don't. We have representatives in a republic. That's what it is. But, I mean, most people – well, not listeners of this show, but most people in the country couldn't even name their representative. They don't know how the government works, how a bill becomes a law. They think the president can just sign something off.
I bet you there's a large – portion of members of Congress that don't even know that.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to be a genius to be in Congress.
I bet I'm serious. Some of these Democrat congressmen, it's like stunning they're even there. I mean, AOC is not the brightest. Hank Johnson thinks islands float.
Floating. He was worried about capsize. It's a mountain in the ocean. It's a mountain.
I bet you could go up to some of these Democrats who are representatives and say, hey, do you know the representative in your district? They'd probably sit there and be like, huh?
No, they have no idea. I'm just a little upset that Rashida Tlaib's pager didn't blow up.
Oh, well,
she's on that list.
Did she got through? I think she made it through.
Well, she's basically Hamas.
She got through this round of elections. Some of the others.
Well, two of them lost. My guy up in New York,
Cory Bush lost. Jamal Bowman lost.
Yeah. Well, he was an animal, wasn't he? He was up there in a wife beater, just dropping F bombs like we do.
That was crazy.
Yeah, he's
that's nice. That's good for the
New Yorkers, man.
Hey, I actually prefer it when they're real. Actually,
well, I would like that too. At least tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, at least.
But you can't even get an answer out of any of them. Nothing. Like whenever a question is asked, they're like, "Well, you know, I was raised in a middle class family, and I've always been very clear."
Oh my gosh! If I hear that one more time from Kamala Harris, middle class family, middle class family, middle class family.
By the way,
shut up.
She wasn't raised in Oakland. She was raised in Berkeley. There's a huge difference.
Well, and she was raised in Canada.
Well, yeah, dude. Yeah, right. And her dad's a socialist professor. Blood's going to start shooting out of my eyes if I keep talking about this. Tell him.
All right, I'm going to calm you down. I know the trick to calm you down. All right, so this is what's so crazy. And let me just lead with this. What got you started in, let's say, alternative medicine or alternative remedies for different either mental ailments or stress or trauma? What got you started going down this path to, hey, DMT works for this, mushrooms work for this? How did that path begin?
My wife told me that I was crazy, in a nutshell. And she found me a psychiatrist who was a Vietnam vet. And I wouldn't talk to psychiatrists. I don't want to talk to some dude that learned out of a book. But I met a Vietnam vet. He's got PTSD. He became a psychiatrist. And we started talking about my craziness. He recommended MDMA. And then I did that and it worked. And then he started bringing me into more stuff. We had to go out of the country to do DMT, do Ibogaine, Iboga, psilocybin, stuff like that. So he sort of got me into it. And all it did was open up a new, just a new avenue of, yeah, you might be crazy, but so is everyone else. And it's a healing. It's almost a self-forgiveness, a self-love. It's almost a realization through psychedelics that a lot of the stuff you're worried about is not going to happen. And you can take a breath. And that's kind of how it does it for me. And I got to do it a lot. I've got a lot of craziness in my mind. And I'm going to do Ibogaine at least every 6 months. But I'll do DMT every 3 weeks probably. So DMT is about 3 minutes. Ibogaine is about 50 hours. One is the God molecule. One is complete hell.
So that's the, what's it, the 5.0, right?
5-MeO.
Yeah.
Yeah. DMT is if everyone could do 5-MeO DMT, there would be world peace. Because you see God, and it's a God molecule, and it's so
it's hard. Literally the stuff dreams are made of.
You see it twice naturally in your life, when you're born and when you die, and you see heaven, and it's so hard to describe. But what it said to me, the medicine talks to you. It said the only people who go to hell are people who think they deserve to, and it's almost part of the healing process for yourself, the self forgiveness. I'm a crier. I love to cry, and DMT will make you cry. And it's just, but it brings you to reality. The real, like, I'm not afraid to die now. Like, just because I think I've seen it.
Have you ever seen the movie? They did a remake of it. I think it was called Heartstoppers, Flatliners.
Flatliners. I've never seen it, but I know it is. Kiefer Sutherland.
So that was the original. They redid it before Ellen became Elliot.
Right.
Really a shame.
Yeah.
But you know, it kind of ties into this.
She used to be hot.
I won't spoil it too much, but the story is kind of the same, where they basically induce death and they get this DMT hit and they kind of get like superpowers. But really, I think the larger story is you're able to access parts of your brain. They say we use 13% of our brain on average. You're able to access parts of your brain, parts of your mind, these synapses fire that you can't get access to.
The way that it works is you use about 13% of your brain on certain things. 13% when you're playing chess, 13% when you're driving, shooting free throws. When you take DMT, 100% talks to itself. So your brain talks to itself, and it leads you on a journey of your soul. And I'm sure you've heard people talk about DMT and psychedelics before. It's so hard to describe what you go through, but it's a healing process.
Here's the other thing about, you know, they call it magic mushrooms. The reason that I think it's magic is because, depending on whatever you're trying to get out of it, let's say, it'll work for you. Yep. Like if you've got somebody that has separation anxiety, you've got somebody that has depression, you've got somebody over here that has some other social whatever, and same mushroom, same thing, yep. But it works for whatever your issue is.
I think that different things work for different people. It's not a one-stop shop. Like I took mushrooms one time and I went to see the Rockettes Christmas special. I understand how the Beatles wrote the White
House. Clearly medicinal.
it was awesome though. But like it was seriously a healing process. I'm like, you know what, I got to try this. And
let me.
That was a lot of Santas fast roping out of that.
Here's the incredible thing about all of this to me, because you got all kinds of things considered hallucinogens, and I think that this is where DMT is like the great mystery, or why it kind of separates itself. Because you can talk about salvia, you can talk about acid, you can talk about LSD, you can talk about all these other things. But to me, it feels like the only thing that's actually giving you a real experience is DMT. Like the things that you're seeing or the dimensions that you're getting access to are real. With all these other hallucinogens, it's just kind of fake, something tricking your brain. But with DMT, there's something real. You're seeing something real.
DMT is a hallucinogenic, and it comes from a toad in Sonora. Ibogaine is a plant-based medicine, been around for 5,000-10,000 years. So they squeeze the toad thing and you inhale it like a vapor, and it is a hallucinogenic, and it's really, really powerful. But I do think it's in your mind, but I think your mind takes you to the next level. I think you see the afterlife. I really do. I know when I went in there, again, I was talking to Alex earlier, and it's a maternal voice that you don't know what it's saying, but you understand it. Like it's a language being spoken that covers your whole body. And I personally could see 360 degrees around me. It was like looking at a mirror ball, but I could see everything around me. And it was welcoming me, saying, we've always been here. Like, we're not waiting for you. We're just here, and welcome to it. And it's scary, but it's warming. And then you're in it. And then I the first time I did it with my wife watched me and I asked her how many days was I out? And she said 2 minutes. You lose track of time, but it heals and it lets you know that literally everything's going to be okay. If more people could do DMT, more people could do Ibogaine, I swear there would be less war.
Well, and you know, everything is kind of different after that. It's kind of like, you know, you aren't hung over like you just drank a fifth of vodka. You're kind of like hung over like, man.
The hangover is I can smell the flowers. This watermelon tastes delicious. I can't believe how beautiful the ocean is. I want to pet this dog. Like the hangover is it's an uplift. There is no hangover. It's just uplifting. It's peace. It's strength. It's unity. It's everything. It's you can't describe it. I'm sure you've heard people talk about it before. DMT. This is, by the way, the hat I'm wearing because I'm promoting this.
Did you design that?
Yes. It's after a certain golf company because I'm a really horrible golfer. But I designed DMT after it. They don't sponsor me, so I can't mention them. But I think you can.
Maybe try it. Maybe a couple mushrooms and then hit the course.
My game's not going to get any worse.
And anything for an edge in golf.
Well, I'll tell you what. Me and Tiny, my boy Tiny, we take mushrooms, go to the Rockettes. I'm telling you, if you're bored,
that's the trick,
dude. Yeah, Sixth Avenue, Radio City Music Hall, psilocybin or mushrooms, the Rockettes.
You're going to come back in studio. Yeah. You told Alex.
Oh yeah,
you're going to be back
for sure. Easy flight. I live in New York.
You should come back. You should come back for Creed in November.
100%.
I'll be done. He just said it on air. That's a guarantee.
Hey, brother. No. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Robert O'Neill. Buy his book, robertjoneill.com. All right. We got Trump live right now. I got a guest coming up shortly. I'm going to kind of organize some stuff as we're getting ready for more news coverage here. Let's pick up Trump live in New York City real quick. Go ahead, guys.
Has brought massive crime into our country at levels that nobody's ever seen before. We've never seen levels like this. And during the debate, I mentioned that, and David Muir, a real lightweight, whose ratings have gone way down, by the way, because he lost credibility, had 1-3, but I think we did great. But David Muir of ABC, fake news, when I said that crime is way up in our country, he corrected me. He corrected me on so much, and it was right what I said. He didn't correct her one time, and what she said was wrong. Absolutely wrong. So many different. Charlottesville, she was wrong. All of the different things, almost everything she said, and she was never corrected. But he corrected me in crime. He said, no, crime has not gone up. I said, crime has gone up massively.
So Trump Tower here.
He said, I'd like to state, for the record, that crime has not gone up. Now, you don't know this, but we had a deal with ABC that there will be no corrections of any kind, and they violated the deal. Why? Because they're bad people and they're fake news. So he did it many times to me during the debate. He violated the deal. That's the deal. Because you can take anything and try and make up stories with it. We had a deal where that wouldn't happen. You could do whatever you wanted as soon as the debate was over, but he did it in total violation of what our agreement was. And a lot of people standing right over there will tell you exactly what it was. We'll show you what it was. David Muir has lost all credibility.
Yeah, his ratings have totally crashed, by the way. And now that's how people will remember him. Instead of trying to play it down the middle, he showed his true colors. And his show ratings are way down. ABC Nightly News ratings way, way down. All right, I want to pull back from that for a second here and just show you a couple other things before my next guest joins. So nothing's going to stop a Trump supporter at this point. I mean, they'll walk over broken glass to vote for Trump. They'll fight an army of bears to vote for Trump. I mean, they'll stand there as shots are ringing through the air and they won't even budge in support of Trump. But let's take a look at Florida here. Nothing like Florida. We got three funny clips here. Let's start with clip 16. You've got Weather Channel hurricane coverage. And, okay, here comes the Trump supporter. Look at that. Flagpole bending in the wind as the waves crash into the pier there. Just absolutely nothing stopping the Trump supporter. They're saying near 100-mile-per-hour winds. Didn't faze him. He was standing there proud of his Trump flag. Well done, young man. And Cedar Key, Florida, very Florida thing. All right. What about, show me clip 18. Which one is clip 18? Is that the guys in the boat, I think? The streets are flooding. Yeah, okay. The streets are flooded, and one group of gentlemen decided to go ahead and just hop in their boat with their Trump flag and go through the streets of Florida. Okay. So, and they're acting like Florida's a swing state, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Sure it is. We're not done yet. This news crew was doing their hurricane coverage. A Trump supporter got in the photo shoot, and, well, they didn't like that very much. Here's that in clip 22. So there he is, waving the Trump flag. This is in Tallahassee. Make America Great Again flag. And here comes the security telling him you can't be in the shot. Well, actually, you're in public, okay? You're in public, you're on a street and a sidewalk, so actually he can be in your shot waving a flag. So if I was that guy waving the flag, I wouldn't have backed down. Some security guard says you can't be here. Bull crap, you can't be here. You don't own the streets just because you're a news person. If you don't want a Trump supporter waving the flag in your background, then go stand against a wall. So there you go. My guess is there's going to be a lot more of that. As this hurricane is now barreling down on Florida, you're going to probably see a lot of crazy Florida man, as it's called, waving Trump flags in the hurricane. Welcome back here. Hour two of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We are now joined by Andy Armbruster, and he helped get the story out about Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and the situation where they're busing people to work. He was part of that footage that you saw with all the white vans. He's had friends that have spoken at Trump rallies about this as well. So I figured let's go to Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and find out the real story. So Andy Armbruster joins me now. Well, Andy, Springfield, Ohio was kind of the story that broke this thing wide open, talking about the illegal migrants, specifically Haitians, that are going into these small American towns of maybe 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. And then they bring in 10,000 illegal immigrants. Well, that's kind of a hard thing to hide in small town America. And so Charleroi is another town that has been affected by this. So why don't you tell the American people what's going on in Charleroi, what you've witnessed, and how it's not just Springfield that is enduring this.
Yeah. Hi, Owen. It's a great pleasure to meet you. And it's really a huge change that's gone over this town in a few years. You know, we started getting immigrants working at meatpacking plants 15 years ago. They were brought in and we started seeing these vans, and they were mostly Indonesians, Liberians, Africans. But in the past couple of years, it has skyrocketed. It went from hundreds to thousands. And we have Americans that need jobs in this town. It's a small town, 4,000 people. And then we get 2,000, 3,000 immigrants in the past two or three years. And it's been a culture shock, and just, it's been a really great change to this town.
And try to kind of, just try to kind of put it into perspective for people that maybe haven't been to a small town or lived in a small town. Is it the type of thing that maybe you see it once in a while? Is it the type of thing that you see every day? I mean, talk about how it's changed the town, the culture.
Yeah, it's every day. There is no person that drives through the town. Everybody notices that it's completely different. The stores, there's probably six or seven money sending institutions like Vigo or companies that send money overseas, and the small shops that cater to the immigrants, the Haitians, the great replacement of Americans with immigrants. People can't find a place to rent, and even surrounding towns are now starting to get filled up with the Haitians because every place that's available to rent is taken.
Well, and I know that you were going around town with a friend of mine who was shooting that footage. explain to the audience what they're seeing where these people are getting into these vans and getting driven to work. What is going on there?
Yeah, so there's these white vans. They're passenger vans, maybe 15 people per van. And the Haitian drivers, or it started out with Indonesians, were the ones who were driving the vans. But they stop in the middle of the street. The people get in. They're all wearing thick clothes because they're going to work in a big freezer. They work in they're packaging frozen foods, and they have their lunchbox. They get in and they go on to the next stop, and they all end up at one of two or three factories in town. They're on different ends of the town, and it's called 4th Street Foods, and they make frozen foods, bowls and sandwiches, breakfast and dinner, mostly Great Value, which is the Walmart generic brand, and Jimmy Dean sausage brand, but they're frozen food products, and they're just being packaged. And these jobs used to be held by Americans, and the owner of it used to be called QDC, then it was owned by Simplot, and then it's called 4th Street Foods, but it's always been the same deal. They're all using these imported van companies. You see that Wellington, that's one. There's Celebes, there's PR, there's Advantage, and all these vans, those are the old ones there that you see. It's like an old parking lot for broken down vans. But there used to be maybe 20 or 30 of these vans going back like 12, 15 years. But now there's hundreds of them. And everybody knows that you need to be careful when you're driving around these vans, because they stop when they're not supposed to stop. They go through red lights. They go down the wrong way of one-way streets. And you have to be aware, because they cause accidents and they cause a lot of issues driving around town.
Now, some people, again, may not understand this, but when you have a small town like this, usually there might be a factory or two, or more generally speaking, a business or two that hires a lot of the people. It's where a lot of the people work and, you know, get their income to pay for their bills, their house, their mortgage, their rent, what have you. And when you take the one or two main businesses or factories and you're no longer hiring American, it changes the whole community. So kind of explain that dynamic of, yeah, you live in a small town like this, or even directly speaking to Charleroi, most people work at these factories, these food production facilities, and when they're not getting the jobs anymore, where do they go? So kind of explain that dynamic.
Oh, and it's even worse than that. We've lost a place called a pasta manufacturer. We're a river town. It's manufacturing. It's been like that for over 100 years. The river just lends itself to factory work that's easy to transport. That includes the steel mills and coke factories that have been here for decades that closed down mostly in the 80s. But we just had a pasta making facility close down. That's 100 jobs gone. Pyrex, Pyrex and Corning, which used to be called 100 years ago, it was Macbeth Evans. It's been a glass factory. Charleroi gets its name from another glass factory, sister city in Belgium. We've been making glass in this town for almost 150 years, and that's closing. And so that was mostly American jobs. The pasta place was largely American jobs. And now the big employer, one of the biggest employers, is 4th Street Foods, with multiple factories in town. And they hire very few Americans. They hire mostly immigrants now.
Now,
it's really been a terrible situation for our town.
It appears at least some of these local companies have released statements basically denying that they're hiring foreign workers, or at least replacing American workers, but it appears that the locals disagree. Have you seen that public statement?
I've seen statements where they're putting out this saying that, yes, they're hiring immigrants, but locals won't work these jobs. And that's not true. That's at the best a half truth. People will work if you pay them a wage that they can live with. And since the immigrants, they're coming from third world countries, they'll work for these lesser wages. And on top of it, they get benefits that Americans don't get. They get food stamp cards. They get housing assistance. They get cash benefits. They're driving nice cars now. A lot of them have saved money, but I don't know. Most people are wondering, where are they getting these nice cars? So less than a year ago, my son was hit by one of the immigrants. He works at a tire shop, and they came in to get tires. And my son was pinned against the tire machine in a car that an immigrant was driving, and he injured his knee. He got hurt, and the immigrant didn't have current insurance. And it all fell onto the owner of the tire shop's insurance to pay for it, and the immigrant went free.
Yep.
Police didn't charge him with anything. Nothing happened. He got off scot-free.
Yep.
And that's a situation that's happened here in town more and more, because police don't really know what to do with them. They don't necessarily have insurance. They get insurance, and then they let it lapse, and then they're driving without insurance.
And if you don't have uninsured, if you don't have uninsured driver insurance, which is, I mean, that's kind of top level. It's some of the most expensive. Some people just choose not to do it because it is so expensive. Okay. Then you get hit with that. I had a similar. So it's, you know, that's happening in all states, by the way, because that happened to me. I'm in Austin, Texas. I had a hit and run with an illegal immigrant. And when I called it in and called the police, they said nothing we can do. They said, there's nothing we can do. And so that's just it. And my insurance had to pay for it.
Why is it a different situation for someone who's an immigrant compared to me or you, who would be found liable for these kind of incidents?
Absolutely. Well, it's because they're a priority. And we all know why. Because Democrats need new voters, and they just absolutely love the welfare state. I really appreciate your time, Andy, and telling this story. Any closing comments for people that you think they should know about this issue?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are being called racist in this town. We're a town of immigrants. Everyone here came from some kind of immigration situation in their past, in their heritage. And we don't hate immigrants. We don't hate these immigrants. They're generally nice people. The problem is that they came here under dubious circumstances. They're getting rubber stamped immigration forms and temporary protected status forms, their sponsorship forms. They're all just rubber stamped by the current government. And so we don't know who these people are, or they're getting driver's license without taking a test. You and I can't do that. Yeah. And they're displacing the American people who lived in this town for generations. I have family that's been here. My family's been here for 200 years in the surrounding area. Same property in Fallowfield Township for 200 years. And it doesn't feel the same as it used to. There has always been immigrants, but this is a different situation entirely.
Doesn't feel like it used to. I feel like that's kind of applied to our entire country right now. Andy, thank you so much for your time. If there's anything else you want to report about the situation in Charleroi, you just reach out to us.
Will do. Thank you.
So there you go, folks. There's the story right from the ground in Charleroi. The mainstream media won't cover it, but we will. That's what we do here. Now, I'm going to come back and get a little bit more into this illegal immigration story. And again, this is all over the country, and people are sick of it. And they're going to their city councils, and they're talking to the local media, but they just bury the story because, well, they got to get Kamala Harris back into the White House. So they don't want you to know what's really going on. But we're going to tell you coming up right after this break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to look more at this situation. We've got more mothers, specifically in Fairhope, Alabama. We showed a clip from a city council where an illegal immigrant killed a nurse and a teacher, a mother. And now we're hearing about the situation in the schools. This is from Fairhope, Alabama, another small town getting invaded with illegal immigrants, clip 13.
I wanted to come to address the fact that our schools really cannot take on any more students, especially students that don't speak English. Our teachers, our schools are maxed out. Our teachers are at capacity. I was at my son's baseball game when I listened to what you were saying. And I want to remind everyone why we're here. We're here because of a letter that you signed. We're not here because we're incompassionate or we don't have feelings or we don't care about people. And you know what? All I could think of when you were talking is that you were gaslighting every single one of us. So I'm going to read a little piece of the letter that you signed. We continually hear from our constituents that they believe in and support refugee resettlement, from greeting refugee families at the airport to assisting with English language classes or navigating bus lines. Our communities stand welcome. I don't remember you asking anybody that's here how they felt about that. And you signed a letter on behalf of your position representing our city. And that is a huge problem for me. If you're going to sign a letter like that and you represent our city, then you need to ask the constituents how they feel about it. And yeah, Fairhope's probably not going to be inundated, but Foley and Silver Hill and Somerdale, and we've got a lot of communities. And what she was saying about being in a car accident, in December, I was in a terrible car accident with my two children and my friend's daughter in the car. And I was hit by an illegal immigrant in Baldwin County that did not receive a ticket, that did not go to jail. He had no car insurance. And I called the police department to ask why. Why, if I were to do that without a driver's license or car insurance, I would have been arrested. My car would have been towed. So they tell me that they can go to the DMV and they can get tags for their vehicle and they can also get car insurance without a driver's license right here in Baldwin County. My son and my daughter and myself were injured in that accident. I had to pay for everything out of my own pocket. And so if you're inviting people here, then they need to follow our laws too. Okay? Because we all follow our laws. We pay our taxes. We pay, you know, we pay for our car insurance. And they need to do the same.
Well, so, you pay for all their bills, too, is the irony. And you'll have a mother at the grocery store on a budget sitting there counting the numbers, doing the finances and saying, okay, this is the groceries I can afford. And then a illegal immigrant will come up with thousands of dollars on an EBT card paid for by the taxpayer and not have to even worry about it, not even have to balance a budget. How insulting. How disgusting. By the way, this is just breaking. A Haitian migrant in Springfield, Ohio, has just hit a person. A drunk driving Haitian migrant has just hit a person in Springfield, Ohio. Said person was leaving the scene in an ambulance. The Haitian drunk driver was arrested. Here's more from Springfield. Bragging about how he has the Haitians working in a factory. Actually, you know what? I've gone long. Instead, let's go to this. Let's go to the pissed off New Yorkers because we're about to go to New York anyway with former police officer Sal Greco to talk about Eric Adams and other things. So let's actually go to New York instead with clip 23.
Have the dubious distinction, 100 murders in 466 days in office. Never before on both sides, Republican, Democrat, have you ever had 100 murders in Manhattan in 466 days. On day one, Alvin Bragg says he was not going to prosecute felonies. They give you all their fake statistics. Well, if you don't arrest nobody, you don't have no statistics.
Is New York in play? I would say no, just because all the corruption, they'll just steal it. It doesn't even matter. I'm not on the ground in New York. We are going to go to the ground in New York specifically to talk about that with Adam Francisco. But again, it's this crime wave in blue cities now, not just criminals that are American. Now they've brought in criminals from foreign countries and third worlders, and they're just covering it all up. And maybe my next guest Sal Greco can talk about that, too. We're going to get into the Eric Adams story. He may even have some intimate information dealing with that. We'll find out on the other side. Joining me now is a great American and a former NYPD officer, Sal Greco. And I wanted to have him on today to talk about the situation with Eric Adams. And I think maybe we kind of frame this because I had a lot of people reaching out to me, a lot of other journalists covering this, saying, oh, well, this is clearly political. Let's be careful not to go after Eric Adams. And I said, well, look, two things can be true. This can be political, but he also can be corrupt. And that's the situation I see going on here. So, yeah, it's definitely a pick and choose who they charge. Maybe it's coming right from the Biden-Harris Department of Justice. Maybe it's because he called out the illegal immigrant invasion happening in New York City. Maybe it's for other reasons. But I also believe that the charges will probably stick because there's probably something there. Despite Eric's cries of innocence here, they did release their indictment today. Ironically enough, it's basically the same thing that they're charging Hunter Biden with. I mean, go figure. So Sal Greco joins me now. Sal, what is your take on this Eric Adams situation? I mean, he was a former New York police officer as well, just like yourself.
Well, Owen, it's good to see you again, first of all. And, look, Eric Adams is a highly conflicted individual who surrounds himself with corruptible people. And I do hear this narrative out there, and let's be frank with everything. Eric Adams, when it comes to the migrant shelters, when he became, first of all, when he ran for office, he's the one that actually ran on New York City will be a sanctuary city. He then, with the migrants, he didn't say he's not for open borders. He is for open borders. He said he is the Joe Biden of Brooklyn. And when it came to the migrant shelters, he was placing them, Owen. He put them in areas that were, first of all, working class areas and predominantly conservative areas like Staten Island, where he put a migrant shelter across the street from a school that's all girls. Okay, so he was crying about the money, Owen. He wanted money for the shelters to keep his scheme going with his other aide, Timothy Pearson, who just got pulled from the contracts he was getting from the migrant shelters. The whole thing is not political. See, like you just stated, Owen, it could be political, but it could also be a crime. So it really, and we can't compare this to President Trump because, Owen, with President Trump, they used a statute from 1800s, which was 100 plus years ago, to persecute a man, which they basically picked him out of a straw hat and said, we're going to do this one time on one man. That's political. Eric Adams being charged just like Bob Menendez. There was a case of Democrats in Brooklyn a few years ago with the same straw donor case. Because, you know, New York has this matching funds straw donor thing, which 8-to-1 matching funds. So that's what he really is ensnared in. You know, Owen, he's just the guy cannot stop surrounding himself with corruptible people. His police commissioner, now Tom Donilon, who you're finding out this guy was friends with the disgraced FBI agent Charles McConnell. Okay, remember him? He wrote a letter of leniency from him. That's the police commissioner now, Tom Donilon, just got raided by the feds a week after he took office. Eddie Caban, the former police commissioner, he was raided by the feds, and his brother owns that infamous nightclub. I'm sure you've heard me screaming about it every day, Con Sofrito in the Bronx, that's now shuttered, which, by the way, who's going there all the time? Letitia James, Carl Hasty. So, I mean, it's just one thing after the other. Anyone in New York could tell you, Owen, we kind of expected this because it's just an Eric Adams nature.
You know, that's funny about that club. That sounds like right out of the Batman movie, you know, the club that the Penguin is running and all the shady government agents go down there to hang out. That's kind of crazy to hear. It really is like Gotham City, apparently. And look, in the indictment, anybody can go read it now, it's public. And I wonder, too, it seems like maybe there's a tug of war and there's something going on behind the scenes here. The indictment claiming that there's some Turkish building owned in New York City and Eric Adams basically kind of rubber stamped the fire code investigation. And they're saying it's basically pay for play, $100,000. Maybe there's more going on. And that's just kind of a warning shot to Eric Adams. Of course, he's crying innocence. I mean, that seems like kind of open shut. Of course, we'll see what happens. He's innocent till proven guilty, just like anybody else. But how does this tie into the larger picture? I mean, there have been like 8 raids with people involved in law enforcement and people Eric Adams has surrounded himself with just in the last couple months. So what's the larger story here?
The larger story is, I'm understanding, is about 300 people that will be indicted shortly. It's a widespread corruption scandal that is spreading not only in New York City, but it's the state. I keep telling people, you're seeing a lot of silence from two people in particular that were very close friends of Eric and hanging out at Con Sofrito, and that's Letitia James, the attorney general, and the assembly speaker of New York State, Carl Hastie. Carl Hastie and Letitia James are linked at the hip. And when you think about it, Letitia James hanging out with shady people, you know, it's funny. She's the person that can make somebody a convicted felon. Yeah, she loves to hang around them, apparently. So does Carl Hastie. And this nightclub, Owen, what's going on here is the brother of the police commissioner, Richard Caban, who owned the nightclub, the co-manager, the manager of the place was a guy by the name of Jimmy Rodriguez, a self-admitted criminal mob associate, who just so happens to have been very chummy with the Clintons. In fact, Hillary Clinton, when she ran for the Senate, she announced it in front of Jimmy Rodriguez's laundromat, a little laundromat in the middle of nowhere, just so people could go back in time. And he owned a place called Jimmy's Bronx Cafe at Fidel Castro there, and the Major League Baseball banned their players from going there. So when you think about this, the nightclub, what you're hearing is an extortion racket. The twin brother, James Caban, a former cop too, was thrown off the job. They're running around, and it's alleged that they were extorting people using the police department as security, which would mean that Eddie Caban committed official misconduct. So there's a ton of cops that are going to be investigated. Also, these parties they were holding at Con Sofrito, which was illegal. They violated the buildings department where they were told to tear down a party shed. They never did. They were given 20 summonses from the fire department as a fire trap. We now know that it was an allegation, a criminal referral from the police department to SLA, from the human trafficking unit. We don't know whatever happened with that. The state liquor authority had an open investigation. They closed without explaining why. And then the health department cited them for having mice in the food and other disgusting things, yet they kept an A rating. And then party all the time. We had Letitia James, Carl Hastie, Eric Adams, the Cabans, the chief of the department there from the NYPD, multiple NYPD upper echelon. We also had, there's criminals there. You had Fat Joe, Peter Guns. These guys are known convicted criminals, and they're all hobnobbing in the same place with law enforcement and the top law enforcement agent in the state, Letitia James. So you're going to hear about this. It's going to be more coming. They're already, New York Times already reported today that they were looking at the connections between NYPD fraternal organizations. Were they getting discounts at these nightclubs? What exactly is going on with the extortion racket? This is nuts, Owen. I mean, you could basically say, is this the plot of a movie?
And no, it is. That's no. Have you seen the latest, the new Batman movie? The first Edward Pattinson
yes,
one?
Yes.
This is,
yes.
I'm not Penguin, even yeah, kidding yes. you. This is like the exact plot out of the most recent Batman. Pretty good movie. I guess that's because reality is better than fiction. I mean, what you're describing is, I mean, almost to a T, police commissioners hanging out at nightclubs, the mayors. I mean, literally to a T, that's like the plot of the Batman movie. What is the Joker going to pop up next? Is the Riddler going to enter the frame? What's happening here?
It's even crazier. Owen, you know, the mayor, the same lawyer that today came out and said, we're going to go to court tomorrow. I guess Eric Adams is going to turn himself into court. That lawyer is representing Eric Adams illegally in a sexual assault case from 30 years ago. You remember that law they put in New York State so that woman could sue Donald Trump for some sexual assault allegation from 40 years ago? Well, they used that against Eric Adams, Owen. And then what happened is this woman who claimed that he sexually assaulted her in a car, and they do know each other from their days in the NYPD, that woman who's suing him is being browbeated by this lawyer. And guess what? The city is illegally paying for it, representing Eric Adams and others that work underneath him for sexual assault, which doesn't fall in the scope of your duties in New York City as an
Democrats
employee.
Are well known for using government funds to pay for attorneys. And by the way, so is Congress. Yes. I believe the number was $21 million that Congress had spent on hush money, basically, to cover up sexual assault allegations. Mm-hmm. That story came out about 5 years ago. So, okay, but so let's look at the other angle here. If this is political, which again, two things can be true at once. It can be political and he could potentially be guilty, innocent till proven guilty. Let's see what happens. But what's the political angle then? Why are they going after Eric Adams? Is this good people doing this? Are there good people left in law enforcement? Is this political, let's say, revenge for him calling out the illegal immigrant invasion? What do you think is going on with that?
Well, I think here what actually happened was the initial look into Eric Adams, which the Turkish embassy started on a civil lawsuit. Damian Williams in the SDNY, if you haven't noticed, a lot of his cases are always off of civil lawsuits. The federal government actually, when it's not Donald Trump involved, will take a look at your civil suit and they look at what you're alleging and they can look into this. So in this instance, there was a former FDNY chief, I believe, that was terminated and made these allegations about this Turkish embassy and other things that led to. You recently heard that two former FDNY chiefs were indicted last week for the same thing, bribery and taking money for inspections. And he alleged that in his lawsuit. And he also alleged that Eric Adams had this list where it was certain people getting inspections. And voila, here's this whole investigation into Eric Adams that goes back 10 years. Goes back 10 years, Owen. That would knock out a political, if you can even say political, say, well, 10 years ago, he's a Brooklyn Borough president. So how did that come about? Doesn't sound political if you're going back 10 years. So, you know, Eric had issues as a state senate. You know, he was a state senator. He was part of that race casino scandal that led to the arrest of his friends. Hiram Maserat and Malcolm Smith, they were both state senators. And what the only part of that that was good was Andrew Cuomo cut a deal at the race casino. 70% of those profits would go to the state. But Eric Adams, who was guilty of sin, if you read his testimony, was left unindicted. He then went on to become the Brooklyn Borough president with this this particular indictment picks up everything that was going on. So they were looking at him from 2014 on. This lawsuit that this fire chief put down, that's what they stemmed and forced this move from the SDNY. And you're going to see a lot more movement because this guy is very big with public corruption. And I'm telling you, I'm understanding behind the closed doors, there's at least 300 people that will be indicted upcoming.
All right. Now, I know you're obviously former NYPD, highly decorated. I'm sure you probably have some contacts inside the NYPD. Where is morale right now? I know it's been low for a lot of reasons in New York City. Where is morale right now? And is this the kind of thing that can boost morale? Is this the kind of thing that can let good cops do their job and make them feel like they're necessary again?
Problem with the police is, first of all, you have this nepotism ring that all these upper echelon guys that I've been discussing that hang out at these nightclubs and do all these crazy things. The men and women that work as a rank and file in the street, I mean, they're basically being looked as an afterthought, and that's how they feel. They're also handcuffed because the state Senate and the state assembly don't have the proper legislation to fight public safety or support public safety at all. Neither does the city council. You got district attorneys like Alvin Bragg that are prosecuting cops for doing their job. And then you have Eric Adams, who is, instead of fighting for them, is sitting there saying, crime is down, jobs are up, the city's not surviving, it's thriving, and all my haters are my waiters at my table of success. This is the guy who's supposed to be fighting for them, and clearly he's not. He's an opportunist and a charlatan, and today shows that on paper, actually. So the problem is the police department needs a revamp. It needs a revamp from the top. So this movement where you're seeing a corruption scandal unfold, it needs to happen because you need – New Yorkers need to actually wake up and realize the people you elected, because some of them – there's 8 million people in New York City, and I don't even know if they vote. Not all of them vote, but they tend to vote one way. One party rule will do this. So if you keep voting one way, what do you expect in New York City? Everybody's crying that Jumaane Williams is going to become the next mayor now if Eric Adams steps down or is removed, which should happen, is probably will happen. But you guys in New York City voted for Jumaane Williams, and he's only a temporary hold. There will be a special election. But that's New York City in a nutshell, Owen. It's just, you know, it's the city that never sleeps. But unfortunately, Owen, it is the financial capital of the world. And if it falls, so will this country.
And I think that that goes nationwide. These people keep voting for Democrats and then complaining about the consequences. Yeah. It's no endorsement of the Republican Party, but I mean, my God, the Democrats should not be anywhere near power. And this debate is over, quite frankly. It's over. Sal Greco, thank you for your time. I know you're going to be following up on this. Where can people follow you for any other breaking news?
Well, on X, it's at the Sal Greco, Truth Social, at Head of the Table, Instagram, the Sal Greco, and on YouTube and Rumble, at the Sal Greco Show. Also, it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google Play, all the podcast streaming platforms. And I do break this all down. I'll be breaking it down even further as the week goes on. And I'm just here trying to spread the truth, Owen. And God bless you, Owen. Thank God you're alive and well, because the last time I saw you, I remember what was going on with you. And I said, I can't wait to see you again, my friend.
Months ahead of my imprisonment is the last time we saw each other.
Yeah.
Hey, the head of the table, is that a play on Roman Reigns?
Yeah, I thought you would actually play the song when I came on, because for my whole life, I've been told I look like Roman Reigns. And I just embraced it. I learned he's actually half Sicilian, and I'm running with it. I am the head of I am the tribal chief, the original tribal chief.
As far as I can tell, you dress better. And I'll leave it at that.
I'm the same height. You met me in person. I am the same height.
You
same
are
size,
a dead but... ringer. I mean, it's crazy. You're basically a dead ringer for Roman Reigns, head of the table. All right, Sal Greco, appreciate your time. Follow him on X. Follow his podcast. I know I'm going to continue to follow this story. Probably about as good of a source as you can get right here. Sal Greco. All right. Oh, there it is. As he leaves. We give it to you on the way out. We give it to you on the way out, Sal. All right. There goes Sal Greco. Good job by the crew. It's a WWE reference, folks. Roman Reigns. He really is a dead ringer. It's kind of absolutely insane. All right. I've got a lot more news to cover here. I'm going to try to get through as much of it in the remainder of this hour as possible. And then we're going to go back to New York and get kind of a better idea of the feel. Is New York actually in play? Is it actually in play? Is there a too big to rig possibility in New York? We'll discuss that with my next guest coming up. I want to get some of these headlines. Folks, remember, this is your daily reminder to take your vitamins and supplements from InfoWarsStore.com. Cannot recommend it enough. Now, if you aren't drinking Vitamin Mineral Fusion, now is your time to give it a chance. 40% off while it's in stock. 40% off while it's in stock. And one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com not only tastes great, but it also has more than 100% your daily value of vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin C, and so much more. 5-star reviews. Nothing but 5-star reviews at InfoWarsStore.com. You can go read the reviews for yourself. But this is good for you. It tastes great. I would get rid of those toxic high fructose corn syrup, processed sugar drinks in the fridge for your kids. I'd fill a pitcher of this up, make it taste great, and this will be much better for them than all those toxic drinks. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Just part of the sale going on right now, 25% off all InfoWars MD products as well. It's all happening right now, InfoWarsStore.com. We really appreciate your continued support there. All right, let's just start to hit some of these other headlines here. And we'll crunch through the video list, getting into the fourth hour. Transcripts show President Trump's directive to Pentagon leadership to keep January 6th safe were deliberately ignored. How the Pentagon betrayed President Trump on January 6th. Now, I just ask you this. Are you seeing this news story anywhere? Now, this came from the House 5 days ago. Was this from the House? It hit the American Thinker yesterday, and ultimately that's how I found it. I didn't get this House press release that was 5 days ago. Are you seeing this story anywhere? The answer is no. The answer is no. Nobody is talking about this. Again, okay, you knew that Trump tried to have security on January 6th. I knew that Trump had tried to have security on January 6th. I mean, this is it. Chairman Barry Loudermilk of the House Administration Subcommittee got the transcripts. Got the transcripts. President Trump requested 10,000 National Guard troops to be in D.C. to protect the Capitol. 10,000. 10,000. And the Pentagon and General Milley said no. And the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and the mayor, Muriel Bowser, were not interested in adding security anyway, and they cut police officers that day. So there was a direct stand down, and it wasn't by Donald Trump. It was by the corrupt leadership at the Pentagon and the corrupt Democrat leadership in Washington, D.C. And you're not seeing this story anywhere. And they will still continue to go after Donald Trump for January 6th, even though they know he's innocent. That's how sick these people are that are going after Donald Trump. That's how sick they are. And then they try to kill him. I was disgusted earlier today watching the latest hearing, and this is from the special committee investigating the Trump assassination attempt that they kept, you know, Eli Crane and Corey Mills off of, you know, the guys that should be on there, they kept them off of. It was almost completely unattended. Virtually nothing came of it. Barely got any media coverage. I mean, Fox News did cover it live. Other than that, nobody was following it. Local officers highlight miscommunication around Trump's first assassination attempt at hearing, tainted by politics, says CNN. Oh, it's tainted by politics because Republicans are asking real questions, and so it's tainted by politics. And the actual local police are giving real answers. So it's tainted by politics. So it wasn't federal bureaucrats that were up there being questioned. It was actual local leadership, for the most part. It was local leadership. And they were basically saying, look, I mean, Secret Service and the bureaucracies that were involved in this, I mean, they basically shut us out. And there was nothing we could do. And we don't even have the answers. Task force investigating Trump assassination attempts pins blame on Secret Service failures in first hearing. Now, again, there wasn't really anything new. But I will say this is the big question. And this did get brought up, and there's still no answers. But it was totally certified again today. That yes, Secret Service, I don't know, I don't even know how else to explain it, stood down. Let's just say a mistake was made that led to the roof being open. Let's just say a mistake was made that led to the roof being open, okay? Let's just say that that's the case. I'm not telling you that, I'm not saying I believe that, but let's just say that's the case. No, there was a stand down when it came to getting Trump off the stage. And that was basically confirmed today, that there was a stand down. And they looked directly at the timeline that we have a better idea of now, and they said, hey, this guy was known to Secret Service nearly an hour before Trump took the stage. You did nothing about it. You had him on picture. You were tracking him, and you still let him get on the roof. But it was then known that he had a gun and was climbing the roof at about 2 minutes before he fired the shot, and they certainly knew with about a minute before he fired the first shot that there was a man on the roof with a gun because the police officers sent it out over the radio comms. Now, they did clarify that there were separate comms between local police and Secret Service people on the stage, and there's kind of a separation. There's layers there for communication effectiveness. But when the police officers sent that comm out, the command central that gets 100%, or at least it's supposed to, run by Secret Service, 100% of the communications go through the command center. And they knew there was a man on the roof with a gun pointed at Trump, and they did not report it. And they did not send the communication to Secret Service to get Trump off the stage. There's your stand down. Why did that happen? Who was responsible for it? Will there be a follow-up? Kamala Harris just had her first sit-down interview one-on-one, and it went about as bad as you can expect it. And it was with a Democrat bootlicker, Stephanie Ruhle, and she still blew it. Let's look at some of these clips. First, here's Kamala running against herself and her own failures as vice president in clip 17.
And assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars. and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing, and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
So people can't afford houses, but hold on. Does she know what holistically means? Did somebody just teach her a new word? Did she get her word of the day email and it was holistic and she said, oh, I'm going to find out how to squeeze it into a 30-second clip? Actually, that was 20 seconds. You said it. I don't think you understand what the word means. I don't think you quite got a grasp on holistic quite yet, Kamala. Okay. All right. There it is. Here, let's try this one. Maybe clip 19. Let's see if she can recover here in clip 19.
Prices are still high.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You said you want to take this on by going after those who engage in price gouging.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Blame someone else.
Somebody who supports free markets, who's a capitalist, how do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
They don't.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people. And as Attorney General, I saw this happen.
No, you didn't.
In the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic, we saw it. Where those few companies, not the majority, not most.
Who?
But those few companies that would take
Name
advantage
them.
Of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah,
who did it, Kamala?
Them. Yes, I'm going to go after them. And that is
Who'd
part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
So she didn't answer the question. She didn't answer the question. And then she falls back on the same thing of, well, the economy is really bad, so I'm going to fix it. You're an idiot. You can't fix anything. But aside from the fact that your IQ is probably around like 80, maybe less, you're running against your own administration. Like, you're the incumbent here. It's just insane. All right, here we go. They can't stop the McDonald's lie. They really can't. And so, I don't know. Does this make it believable? Did Kamala really work at McDonald's? Clip 20.
The first one, just a fact check, because your opponent almost every day.
There's no such thing as a little job.
Okay, fair. Because your opponent almost every day sees
hold on. Actually, pause it. I just realized listening to this again. She got the question beforehand. She's answering the question before it even gets asked. Did you guys just notice that? I can't believe it. She knows the question before it even gets asked. How did Kamala know she was about to ask about the McDonald's job? Because Stephanie told her beforehand. And she had the answers to the test. And she had the test beforehand. And she still failed. Kamala Harris is one of the only people ever that has the test and the answers and still gets an F. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I just noticed that. Play it again.
First one, just a fact check, because your opponent
there is
almost
no little
every
job.
Day.
Okay. There's no such thing as a little job.
Okay, fair.
How
fair.
Did you know?
Because your opponent almost every day seems to be talking about this. So I just want to ask you yes or
every
no.
Every day? He said like twice.
Life, have you served two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions,
on a sesame seed bun
working at a McDonald's?
Oh
yes or no?
God.
That's it.
I have.
Okay. Now the other job.
You have.
But it was not a small job. Like, I did the fries.
You never did.
I did.
No, you didn't. You never did. Go to the McDonald's you worked at. I'd like to see it. On a sesame seed bun? I believe her less now. She served two beef patties, all right, but it wasn't on a bun, if you know what I mean.
Look at this weird guy.
Look at that soy finger.
He's never lifted a weight in his life.
They call us weird.
Are you really going to hit me?
And then look at the running style. I mean, my goodness, if soy had a face... Oh yeah, soy boy Ray.
Are you really going to hit me? You want to go to jail for assault?
You're listening to 426.9 Radio. And in the latest episode of Soy Boy Rage, one man loses his temper over a Trump flag.
You look like, what's wrong with the Democrats? You look like Thomas Crooks.
Oh, yeah. Throw that middle finger up one more time, soy boy.
You better get out of here before you get your ass kicked. What a psycho. You're about to go viral, motherfucker. We got that on camera, little soy boy.
Oh, it went viral, all right. It definitely went viral from Adam Francisco. That's him holding the Trump flag in that video. I got to say, it's actually pretty funny because obviously when you watch that, the guy comes charging at you. I mean, you really don't even move an inch. If anything, you kind of try to back off because you don't want to hurt him. I mean, if he touched you, he might have fallen apart completely. And then the guy standing next to you, too, who's kind of an older guy. I mean, he's not elderly, I would say. But, you know, he's an older guy. He didn't budge an inch either. So, I mean, just talk about the energy of these soy boy libtards. And it's just like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's pathetic, really. It's just utterly pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, Owen, it's great to meet you. Been a big fan of your work for a long time. And I've been a big supporter of you. You know, I saw you when with J6. I know they tried to bring the book at you. And I felt so bad. So I've always been in your corner, you know, cheering for you. And I love the work you do. So thank you to you and Alex Jones for, you know, being patriots. But yeah, I mean, I've been waving my Trump flag on the streets for 4 years now. And
that's a shame.
I actually expect him to hit me.
Sorry. We lost you for a second. You're waving your Trump flag on the streets. We lost you. You're back now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I waved my Trump flags for about 4 years on the streets, and this guy, to me, represents the perfect soy boy, the perfect Democrat. And I'll be honest with you, I really thought that he was going to hit me, but I also knew that it wasn't going to hurt that much, so I was actually bracing to get punched in the face. And I was not going to hit him back because I know that fights can spiral out of control, especially because I'm much bigger than him. But I was hoping that if he hit me, I was going to send him to jail for hopefully 6 months.
Yeah, and you know, again, there's an energy, and maybe it's just the soy they intake. I mean, I know that we kind of make a joke like the soy, but maybe it is the soy they intake. I mean, you see this guy take off. He's probably never played an organized sport in his life. He looks like he's never ran before. I mean, I don't know what, I've never seen a running style. He balls up his fist. He's probably never lifted a weight, as you said, as well. And whatever, hey, I'm not here to judge, but it's like, bro, you're about to pick a fight and you don't look like you have any physical attributes at all to be doing such a thing, but he folded up. I mean, he folded up like a cheap tent once he got within about a foot.
Well, I want to be honest. I'm only 5'10", but you could tell here in this video, I'm towering over him. He was probably about 5'5", 5'6". And I think when he got closer to me, he kind of realized that he was outnumbered. And so he gave up.
Now, I didn't bring you on just to talk about this video, but you did accurately predict that it would go viral, and it did. But anytime you get a character like that, I mean, that's like catching a wild age Skrillex. I mean, it's just, you know, you catch a, that's like a legendary liberal right there.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, I live in Florida. I'm here in Tampa. I do not meet people that are this unhinged that often. Florida is pretty safe to do this because, first of all, a lot of people here are armed, so it's a very polite society. But secondly, this leans Trump. Florida is Trump country, so most people here are not going to get that triggered by a Trump flag.
Trump will win Florida by 10 points minimum. I mean, maybe even close to 20. It's going to be a rout in Florida. Now, I know you've also done a lot of street work in New York City. You've spent a lot of time on the streets in New York City. That might be a little more hostile. You do get a lot of support there. But I'm just curious, what's your read on New York right now? What's your read on New York City right now with all the content, street content you've created there over the last 4 years?
Yeah, so I'm from New York. I'm from New York City. I've been living there since I was about 2 months old. So I'm almost a native New Yorker. But I find that there's a lot of silent Trump supporters in New York that are a little bit scared to come out publicly and maybe wear the MAGA hat or wave a Trump flag. But when they see me waving a Trump flag or they see me wearing a Trump hat, they will come up to me. They'll give me a thumbs up. They'll do one of those things where they walk by, one of those silent shows of support. But I think that as long as upstate New York and Long Island shows out for this election, we have a chance of flipping New York, which if Trump could do that, this will be a landslide victory in 2024.
I think New York is so corrupt. I mean, to flip New York would take more than just winning the votes. Who knows what they do in New York City, quite frankly. I mean, who knows? It could be like Atlanta times 10 to steal that state. But yes, if Trump flips New York red, which I don't know why they wouldn't want Trump in New York. He's from New York. He's a legend of New York. I mean, he helped build New York. He's done so much for New York City. I don't know why he couldn't do it. If anybody could do it, you'd think it would be him. The outside chance, if Trump flips New York, I don't see a path to victory for Kamala Harris, period. That's it.
No, there'd be no path to victory. And let me just say that being from New York, I cannot tell you how many messages of support I get from people that live in New York and work in New York. And they tell me that when they're in their offices in the media industry, I used to work in the advertising industry, when these people are in their offices, they'll be in a room of 10 people and every single person except them hates Donald Trump. And because it's 9-1, that one person doesn't feel like they're allowed to speak up and defend Trump and they end up just staying silent. And I can only imagine how many people in New York are like that if only they spoke up, if only they had a chance to really make an argument, maybe they could flip some of those people to more moderate or even to become a Republican. But these people are so beat down by the hive mind that they end up just being silent in New York.
Well, and I don't underestimate the power of the libtard in New York City. It's almost like a cultural social event for them to go out and vote Democrat. And then afterwards, probably give themselves a Dutch oven or something. But so that's like a cultural thing for them to I'm voting Democrat today. Oh, I'm doing my liberal activism. So I don't underestimate the power of that at all. It's just a matter of, are there enough people out there that are sick of the Democrat Party, sick of what they've done to New York City, and are going to show up to vote? I mean, I think that's kind of the question is, can the New York City patriot outvote the libtard? I don't know. I'm kind of sitting here now New York might be in play.
I think it's a play, and I think we have some evidence of that. Like, for example, when Trump went to the Bronx a couple months ago, I mean, the turnout there was absolutely incredible. And if you look at who actually went there, the demographic, it was mostly local people from the Bronx. We're talking about Blacks and Hispanic people showing up for Trump. That was the vast majority of attendees of that rally. So I'm just really excited about places like New York. I have never seen energy like that before in New York, and I really hope that Trump is able to do something special this year in New York.
All right, I want to show you a video from New York City and get your response to it. We've heard about the illegal immigrants. You know, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. Well, what is the real situation? You know, they are taking the geese. They have been filmed eating cats. But this is from New York City, clip 25.
Yeah, so I witnessed a man eating a pigeon. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in 16 years of living in New York, and I've seen some shit. I've seen a man's head get curb stomped outside the Blarney Stone. I have seen multiple men shitting, like nude, just pooping on a sidewalk. So the pigeon, I was walking to get my hoo-ha lasered. It was on 57th and Broadway, and I looked to my right, and there was a bunch of feathers everywhere and a pigeon sprawled like this, wings out. Don't know how it died in that position. And I walked by it and I was like, oh fuck, like that's a disgustingly dead pigeon with feathers everywhere. And then when I was leaving Hoo-Ha Laser, I walked by again and the pigeon was also in this position, but it was up and a man's face was like this. So the pigeon was like this, and the man's face was like this, and he was like this. I don't know if he was eating it. I don't know if he was motorboating it, but pigeon was dead, and the man's face was like this.
So, look.
And that is something.
Here's the question. This is the question. I mean, that woman probably votes Democrat. She has all the signs of Democrat voter, and she probably votes Democrat. But she sits there and she talks about how insane New York City has gotten, and now it's to the point where they're eating pigeon. You know, this is what's so crazy, too, about this from kind of a longer, point of view. I mean, now it's like this weird expectation that, yeah, you go to New York City, it's going to look like a slum. It's going to be like somewhere across between a third world country and then your, you know, Wall Street types. New York City did not like used to be like that. I mean, you know, it used to be you could walk through the streets and it was safe and everybody was dressed nicely. There was a high standard. Now it's like, oh, yeah, people are just eating pigeons. The question is, do people like that realize that this is what Democrat Party leadership has done to New York City? Have they made that connection yet?
Well, I think that the problem is a lot of these people who live in New York, they never leave New York. And so these problems happen gradually that they don't even really notice it when it happens. Whereas me, for example, I left New York in 2017 and I only go back periodically once every couple of years. So for someone like me who's from New York, who saw it in its glory days, which I consider to be the 2000s, 2000, 2010, New York City was amazing, especially the nightlife. It was so awesome.
I was stunned. When I went to New York, first time I went to New York City, I went 2003, 2004. I was a kid. Coolest thing I've ever seen. Me and my dad were out on the streets till 3-4 in the morning. Totally safe, totally awesome, everybody friendly. I go back now. I've been back probably 4 or 5 times now since 2016. Completely different atmosphere. Smells like garbage, trash everywhere, rats on the streets. I mean, you can tell the seedy nature of people everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, it smells like marijuana everywhere. It smells like piss everywhere. It smells like raw sewage everywhere. And I'm telling you, since I only go back every couple of years, I notice the difference now. And the biggest difference to me visibly, it's not just the rats and the cockroaches everywhere, but it's also the amount of homeless people. And the homeless people used to be kind of like relegated to like Port Authority, you know, west of 10th Avenue. It has now gone all the way across Midtown, all the way to the east side. So really, you're going to go everywhere and see homeless people in bus stops, in bus shelters, police stations, hotels. It is everywhere now, and it's impossible to avoid. And it's almost like a third world country.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's different for you because you live there. I just remember, again, when I went there as a kid, like 3 or 4 times as a kid, remembering I could walk around and I didn't really see any of that stuff. And I come back and now it's like not just the homeless and the odors, but I mean, you walk by, I don't even know if they're all homeless, but I mean, you walk by some of these people and they just straight up, they're just selling drugs on the streets. Like they're not even hiding it. It's just like, hey, you walk by, they're like, hey, you want some drugs? Like what the hell?
Yeah, and the police don't do anything anymore about it. So it is a free for all. And this has been going on for a long time. I mean, I know that there's another journalist, I think Savannah Hernandez, she did investigative journalism in New York about how the migrants are taking over hotels that's being subsidized by New York City. This was happening for years prior to becoming mainstream. I was visiting in New York in 2021, and I had guests in the row, New York hotel, telling me floors 8 through 10 are filled of migrants and immigrants, and they're getting rooms for free. And they're partying and they're doing like drug fueled orgies. This is what I heard in 2021. And now it's mainstream finally. And people are, I think, starting to get fed up now that they're hearing more about it.
Well, I think it's the entire hotel now. I don't think it's just a couple of stories. I think the entire hotel. And now there's like entire blocks as well. I mean, that's how insane this situation is. I want to play just a short video because this is kind of where I look at things. And I'm not. I it's like, how do I put it into perspective? How do I say this is the potential? How do I say this is what we could have versus what we do have? Guys, play just B-roll on the screen, clip 26. This is a city in China. I forget the city that it is. This is a city in China. Guys, let's put that full screen.
Guangzhou.
Go ahead.
It's Guangzhou or Guangzhou.
So this is, either way, it's a downtown major metropolitan area in China. And I'm not saying that, hey, having all the lights and everything is necessarily what I want or don't want. I'm just saying this is what a new modern metropolitan area looks like. If you go to areas of China, if you go to areas of Japan, Hong Kong, a lot of areas in the Middle East, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, this is what they look like. They have updated infrastructure. They don't have nearly as much homeless or crime at all. Usually the streets are clean, certainly compared to what you get in American cities and New York City. And I mean, the whole thing is like a damn light show. I mean, that's like the future right there. We don't get that in America. We don't get that because we have corrupt leaders. We don't have clean subway stations. We have them falling apart. We don't have downtown areas that look like the future. They look like we're going back to a third world slum. And so I kind of like to use this stuff to say, hey, this is what we could have. Trillions of dollars on war, we could look like this. I'm not saying I want to live in China. I'm not saying I want to live in the Middle East. I'm saying I want to live in America, and I want to build our country so that we can look as good as this.
When I visited Japan and Korea, the two things I noticed, well, the one thing I noticed was, you're right, the subway system. The subway system in a lot of Asian countries is pristine. It's clean. The people who ride it respect it. I mean, the Japanese subway, if you've ever been on the Japanese subway, it is silent. It is silent and it is clean. There's no loud noises or disturbances, and everybody respects each other. And that's one of the things I noticed about Japan, and we need to bring that here to the U.S. But as long as we keep bringing millions of people into this country overnight, it's not going to happen. People are not going to have time to assimilate and respect our laws and respect our culture. It's not going to happen.
Well, and that's kind of what happens with any welfare state. And anytime people don't feel like it's something you've earned or you've bought, then you're less likely to take care of it. And I think there's another cultural issue too, where, you know, these people are basically taught to hate America, where in these other countries, they're taught to love their country. Again, I'm not saying I want to live in China, but I mean, it's like the law, you have to love and respect China in China. So, I mean, they're not going to walk around spray painting things and destroying their own infrastructure and subways. I'm not saying I want that as law. I'd rather just have a cultural issue where that's what people do, like in Japan, which I would say is where it is, or even South Korea. So it's an amazing thing to look at. And I mean, even in Russia, it's the same thing going on in Moscow. And we just sit here and, you know, there's this kind of thing where people like to hate on Americans and say, oh, they never leave the country. Well, I kind of don't really have that point of view. We have 50 beautiful states here. You can live an entire life and never see all the beauty of the United States of America. But I do think there's an issue where, because people never leave the states and they never go to a major metropolitan area in a foreign country that's not run by corrupt leaders, that's actually in the 21st century, it's like we're stuck in like a 20th century slum or something. And until they've seen that, they don't realize the potential that we're missing out on.
And I want to be clear, I've visited many developing countries. I've lived in Vietnam, I've lived in Mexico, and I do not see the amount of homeless people there in these allegedly poorer countries that I do in places like New York City. So there's something that we're doing wrong, and there's something that these countries are doing right. And, you know, it sucks to see my city falling like that.
Well, you do great street videos, a lot of viral videos. Your YouTube channel is growing. Your X account is growing. Where can people follow to see your new content?
Yeah, so the best way is going to be YouTube. And, of course, I share my spiciest content on X, because YouTube does have some community guidelines. And the last thing I do want to say is, this is one of my taglines on my channel: I'm the only man fighting a terminal illness. I do have end-stage kidney failure. I'm waiting for a donor that can help save my life. So if you guys want to support my channel and my work, givesango.com/AdamFrancisco. And once I get the transplant, you're going to see my work just go to the next level, because I'll be a lot healthier once that happens.
I had no idea of that. Well, God bless you for never stopping and never shutting up and coming on the show. I mean, you don't even make that a big issue. And so I'm glad to hear about that now. I want you to give out that information one more time. I'm just curious, are the chances good? I mean, are you going to get a new kidney?
So the doctors say that I'm pretty healthy, except for my kidneys. They failed because of high blood pressure. It's about a 3 to 5 year wait in Florida. It's a 5 to 8 year wait in New York, which is why I chose to live down here in Florida for the shorter wait time. And I'm hopefully close to getting a transplant, whether it's through a deceased donor or a live donor. But if you really want to, you know, see if you could donate, definitely contact me on Facebook, Instagram, or X. Shoot me a DM and we can see if you're eligible to donate to me. But once again, givesango.com/AdamFrancisco for support.
Okay. Well, God bless and Godspeed. I'm glad that you let us know about that. And I'll be praying for you and your health. And we're going to get you a new kidney, and you're going to kick ass into the next 4 great years of Donald Trump. How about that?
I love that. And last piece of advice for your audience: please get your blood checked. I did not go to the doctor for 13 years. And by the time I went, I was days away from death. So get your blood checked and make sure you're healthy. And the last thing I'll say is, go to the gym and exercise. Keep your body fat low. And that's probably what saved my life. The doctor said my heart was able to withstand kidney failure for so long because I exercised and I went to the gym and I kept my body healthy. So do that and definitely buy some of the supplements that Alex Jones sells on his platform.
Great advice. Great advice. Completely agree. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today and keep up the great work.
Thank you. And God bless Trump.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I can't agree more with that health advice. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a common occurrence where you don't know about a bad health problem and then you do. And it's like you're right up against the wall. And so you always want to be taking care of yourself. I mean, that's why we always recommend, I always recommend exercising. And then we sell supplements to try to keep you in the best health possible. I mean, that's why I take the supplements. That's why I recommend the supplements. That's why I'm proud to promote the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Wow, that's very important stuff. Very important stuff. All right. I got one segment left, and I'm going to do my best. This is going to be a news blitz unlike any news blitz. I doubt I can get through all of it, but we're going to try our best to get through all of this news coming up. We'll talk about, and man, I really would like to do an update on the Electoral College situation, but I just don't know if we'll have the time today. But the big news out of North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, I think it locks it up. I already had Trump winning North Carolina. I think this pretty much locks it up. North Carolina removes 747,000 illegal voters from the rolls. Okay? Virginia just did the same thing earlier this year. Texas did it. Nevada did it. I mean, that's has Trump victory written all over it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's cover as much news as we possibly can here in the final segment of the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. This story didn't really get much play. Armed men came within inches of Barack Obama sitting in backseat of vehicle in stunning Secret Service breach. This is pretty wild. An armed security guard came within inches of Barack Obama sitting in the back of a vehicle in the latest stunning Secret Service security breach. According to TMZ, a security guard for a bar mitzvah nearby stumbled upon Obama's SUV parked in a Hollywood alleyway outside of a restaurant last weekend. The security guard did not know whose vehicle it was, but he suspected it was a dignitary since it had Department of Homeland Security plates. The armed guard approached the vehicle after coming down an unguarded stairwell. He saw Barack Obama sitting in the back seat using his laptop. The armed guard said Secret Service agents were startled when they saw him. The guard turned around, walked past Obama's SUV again, walked back upstairs to the bar mitzvah. About 30 minutes later, he says his boss asked him to hand over his credentials and his license to carry a concealed weapon. So, Secret Service breach comes after two assassination attempts against Trump in the last 2 months. This thing is a disaster. This thing is a disaster. And then, I mean, that barely gets any coverage. And then the hearing today barely gets any new information. It just confirms everything else that we already knew. And somebody stood down. There is no reason, there is no excuse as to why it was not communicated to the Secret Service that was in charge of getting Trump off the stage. And they had the time to do it, folks. They had the time to do it, and they didn't do it. Did not do it. Where is Ron Roe? Where is Kim Cheadle? Not on the stand today. Not on the stand today. What's this just handed to me? Thousands of duplicate ballots sent out in swing state. Guys, let's see. Is anybody else reporting on this? Representative Tom Tiffany has demanded an investigation after the city of Madison, Wisconsin, mistakenly sent out 2,215 duplicate absentee ballots across 10 city wards. So that's coming from the representative. My goodness. I'm telling you, they're going to steal Wisconsin, folks. I mean, come on. I mean, there it is. They're going to steal Wisconsin. There it is, Associated Press, Wisconsin capital city. Of course, it's where the liberal stronghold is. Wisconsin capital city sends up to 2,000 duplicate absentee ballots. So, hey, at least they're paying attention and they stopped this thing from happening. We all know exactly what's going on. They will steal Wisconsin. They will steal Wisconsin. They got their drop boxes ready. They got their voter signature verification stopped. And now they're sending out the duplicate ballots. So how do you think that's going to go? How do you think that is going to go? By the way, you know, Biden went on The View. It was just an absolute disaster. Probably worse than his UN speech that nobody cared about. I mean, that's how big of a joke this presidency is now. He has his final speech at the UN. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. There's no clips. There's nothing. It's just a complete nothing at this point. But, you know, here's a little more violence. Oh, yeah, and he has the Ukraine lapel pin. I mean, just disgusting. Gosh, what an insult. What an insult. So here's Whoopi Goldberg. She wanted to take the opportunity to simulate squashing Trump like a bug. Go ahead, guys. Clip 15.
He just wouldn't go. He was like a bug. He just kept being there. He was like a bug right there. So you felt.
Good Lord. I got to tell you, if you want to, I'm not going to do this to you, but if you want to see some of the most cringe stuff, Joe Biden walks onto the set of The View. And I mean, it was just a kissy face smooch fest. I've never seen such a thing. I mean, they basically got on their knees and worshiped the guy, fawning over him, touching him, grabbing him. I mean, my God, it was the most disgusting, sycophantic display I've ever seen. And he has the lapel flag of the Ukraine flag. I'm so sick of this crap, man. I'm so sick of this crap. By the way, today, $8 billion for Israel. They're about to give more money and weapons to Ukraine as well. The American people suffer, but these foreign countries continue to get anything and everything they need. And the president of the United States goes on The View for a kissy fest with a Ukraine flag lapel pin. I mean, this is just disgusting. I don't care how you feel about Ukraine or Israel. That's insulting. That our representatives, our congressman, our president go up there with a foreign flag on their lapel. It's disgusting. I don't care if you love Israel. I don't care if you hate Israel. I don't care if you love Ukraine. I don't care if you hate Ukraine. It is offensive that our leaders and our president wear a foreign flag on their lapel. Disgusting. Should be illegal. It's not very popular, by the way. AIPAC, that owns our Congress, says America must stand with Israel on their X account. And I mean, it's 98% of the comments are negative. 98%. No, don't tell us Americans what we have to do. Is anyone else sick of that? Is anyone else sick of being told what we have to do? I don't need foreign countries telling me what I have to do. Shut the hell up. You don't tell us what to do. We are a sovereign nation state. We are an independent people. We are a constitutional republic. We don't take orders from foreign countries. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick and damn tired of it. And you know what else drives me crazy? I'm sick of these foreigners that come here. They become a part of the American press. They make an awfully nice living for themselves. And then they tell us we have to support Ukraine. And then they tell us we have to support Israel. Oh, my gosh. I hear that coming from foreigners that aren't even from this country. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just go home? Why don't you just go home? You're going to come to my country and you're going to get rich as a member of the media here. And then you're going to tell us what foreign countries we have to support? I'm sick of this crap, man. And it's about time the American people are sick of it too. Excuse me that I'm sick of the hypocrisy. Excuse me that I'm sick of the American people suffering and then getting beaten down and told, you got to support this foreign country. No, I don't. No, I don't. Support your damn self. And the IDF puts out this statement. Who knows what they're about to do to Lebanon, folks? And the IDF puts out this statement. Oh, my gosh, look at what Hezbollah and Lebanon are doing to the communities of Israel. They're putting military assets and weapons right on the borders in the communities. Oh, you mean like Ukraine is doing to Russia? You mean like NATO is doing to Russia? So you see, there's no logical consistency here. So Israel has military assets and everything right up against its border, and it's, oh, we have to support Israel. Russia gets military assets and everything put up against its border, and it's, oh, Russia's bad. But I'll let you in on a little secret. The correct foreign policy is to say, I don't really care about either situation. I got my own problems to deal with at my own border in the United States of America. Maybe that's not such a secret anymore. Here's J.D. Vance. He was asked about the situation in Ukraine at a recent political event. He had this to say, clip 12.
To what Zelensky said, and can you detail how a Trump-Vance administration would end the war in Ukraine?
Well, look, the details for how Donald Trump is going to end the war in Ukraine is by not being weak and not being dumb, which is unfortunately something you can't say for the current administration. It's very simple. Russia didn't invade a single one of their neighbors for the 4 years that Donald Trump was president. And on the president before him and the president after him, somehow Russia keeps on invading their neighbors. It's because they don't respect American leadership and because our leaders aren't smart. So what Donald Trump brings back is not just strength, but intelligence to the Oval Office. And I think that's really all you need to end this war. Because, look, it is not in America's interest. It's not in Ukraine's interest. It's not in Europe's interest for this war to go on indefinitely. Now, you said that, you know, Zelensky criticized something I said. First of all, that's not a plan. That's me talking about one possible scenario for how this thing might ultimately end. But look, I don't appreciate Zelensky coming to this country and telling the American taxpayers what they ought to do. He ought to say thank you to the American taxpayers.
Thank you, J.D. Vance. By the way, I could be wrong. Well, I know I'm not wrong about this. I maybe just haven't seen it, but I've never seen Trump or Vance with a foreign country's flag on their lapel. Has anybody? I definitely have never seen Trump with it. I don't believe I've ever seen J.D. Vance with it. So, I mean, I don't want to say that they've never done it. It could just be I've never seen it. But you see, that's the difference here. I don't ever want to see a politician, I don't want to ever see anybody in a government job that wears a foreign flag on their lapel. That should be illegal. That should be a criminal offense even. It's disgusting. No, would any other country allow that? Does any other country do that? Sickens me. Wear the American flag and nothing else, you traitors. You traitors. Eddie Griffin, man, this guy is just putting out some heat. He's talking about Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. He has something to say about each candidate. Good stuff here in clip 8.
Well, Kamala Harris. Can't she lie? Yeah, she can lie. Every time she opens her mouth, there's a motherfucker. Roll it.
I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
Speaks for itself. Trump people, contact my people. Come on the show. Let's get it done, man. Kamala, don't come. I want to talk to your lying ass. And ABC is in trouble also. They only fact check Donald Trump. They didn't fact check that bitch at all. But now you try to set Don up to make him look bad. Think. It ain't illegal yet, but they working on it. They ain't supposed to think. The fact checkers are thinking for you like you can't check and fact check for your goddamn self. Who needs a fact checker? What the fuck is that shit about? Like, everybody's a little child. You need those facts checked for you. This ain't school. Can't test, check my homework. This ain't homework.
Who had Eddie Griffin being more reliable than the mainstream American media in 2024 on their bingo card? Eddie Griffin. A better source of news and information than ABC News. Eddie Griffin. A better, more reliable source of truth than pretty much 90% of the American mainstream media landscape. Good for him. I hope his podcast continues to grow. By the way, the kids agree. This is CNN. They do a focus group with kids. Oh my gosh. Wait till you see this. Let's just go ahead and roll 6 and then 7 back to back. First, they ask a young black girl about Kamala Harris, and then we'll let the young boy finish it up with the words for himself. 6 and 7 back to back.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah.
But my vote's kind of still on Trump.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Oh! CNN aired it. Hey, these kids are smarter than most of the people on CNN. I want to play, actually, just play clip 6 again, because I want you to listen. It's so beautiful. These kids are actually smarter than the CNN hosts. These kids are actually smarter than the CNN interviewer. It's so beautiful to watch, and it really shows you the state of the CNN interviewer and host, of how pathetic it is. Notice how excited she gets. She said, oh, it'd be great to have the first black president. And the CNN, oh, yeah, and she gets so excited. And then she's like, but I still like Trump. Go ahead, play it again.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah.
But my vote's kind of still on Trump.
Oh, I only wish I could see the heartbreak on her face. Did you see? It'd be great to have the first black president. Yeah. But my vote is still with Trump. Oh, you could have seen it. You would have seen the minute, the second, the millisecond that her heart tears in half that she didn't get what she wanted. CNN actually aired it. That's something. That is something. Yeah, Donald Trump posted this today, getting support from Zelensky, apparently. You know, if I'm Zelensky, I'm like, I don't know how smart this guy is, but, you know, the deep state will turn on him and he'll be gone. They'll Gaddafi him. They'll Saddam Hussein him. I mean, Trump is really the only hope he has at peace and maybe his life at this point. I mean, so he posted that and, you know, who knows? Zelensky is probably just trying to really secure more funding and weapons if Trump wins, but gets a nice message to Trump today. By the way, this is, again, folks, and this is so, I mean, this is like, you want to talk untouchable, multiple lawsuits, multiple defendants, huge settlements. If you dare talk about voting machines, even though Kamala Harris in 2018 did an entire presentation to Congress showing how voting machines can be hacked. Now, Patrick Bet-David has done the same thing on his podcast. But I'll tell you what, let's just tease that until tomorrow because it's too long to fill the rest of this segment with. So we'll just tease that for tomorrow of an individual showing how a voting machine can be hacked, just like Kamala Harris did. And then she said, we need paper ballots and to hand count them. It's amazing how that changed. But here's another way how Democrats rig it. Listen to one teacher in Pennsylvania. This is what they're doing to teachers to bully them to vote Harris in clip 24.
My gas acids are flabbergasted. I was just talking to someone whose sister is a teacher in Pennsylvania, like a couple hours away from me. And she responded to an Instagram story of mine and told me that her sister has to be registered as a Democrat to be a part of the teachers' union. What? So there are thousands of registered Democrats in Pennsylvania because they're basically forced to be that vote Republican every year. The PSEA is funded by Democrats and the school board as well. So to secure the union benefits, they register themselves as Democrats. This might not be new news to you, but it's new news to me, and that's wild. This is also why I don't believe the polls, because a lot of people are registered as one party and then vote for another party. So it's very hard to know if the polls are right or not. We ain't going to know nothing until November 5th.
Huh. You might not even know it November 5th. You know, the story might even go like this, if I'm being a pessimist. If Kamala Harris wins, you will know it the night of November 5th. If Donald Trump wins, you'll never know it, and Kamala Harris wins. There's a meme going around. I couldn't find it, but it was like, this is what they had to do to get Biden in office. And it was, you know, the vote Viagra that goes straight up, and then Biden wins. And then it was, this is what they have to do for Kamala Harris to get in office. And it's just like, just a straight line up. Couldn't find that one again. The crew would probably find it, but yeah, that's pretty much what's it. So if Kamala Harris wins, you'll know it November 5th. If Donald Trump wins, you won't know who wins, and then Kamala Harris will win. We'll see how bold they want to get. All right, let's go to the floor where Nancy Mace has something to say about Democrat Party corruption in clip 27.
Hey, everyone. I'm headed to another oversight hearing today.
Mm-hmm.
Look what I have here.
Oh, I see what you have there.
I wonder
yeah.
what I'm going to enter into the congressional record today. Wouldn't you like to know Sanctuary Sheriff Kristen Graziano of Charleston County, the woman who was releasing criminal illegal aliens back into South Carolina after they've been arrested for some pretty heinous crimes, to include alleged pedophilia?
Mm-hmm. You guys saw what she had there, right? Did you guys see what she had there? Did you see what she did there? See what she has here? I think we all see. I think we all see, Nancy. I think we all see pretty clear there. Pretty clear what you have. Hey, whatever it takes. All right. Whatever it takes. All right. Anyway. All right. We got a lot of I'll tell you what. Let's just hit these headlines. I'll save some of these other videos for tomorrow. Far left blogger publishes Iranian hack dossier on J.D. Vance, doxing his social security number, physical address, cell numbers, and emails. You know, there's a bit of back and forth about this. Like, oh, because this guy got suspended from X and they banned the story from X. They're saying, well, it's double standard. Is this the same as the Hunter Biden laptop? I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, when you start doing addresses and social security numbers, it's totally different. And I don't remember if any of that was really on the Hunter Biden laptop. It was more just salacious photos and text messages. There were definitely emails on there and maybe some cell numbers as well. So I don't know. I'm kind of, I mean, to me, again, social security number, personal address, that has to be stopped. You can't let somebody share that. But then people are complaining. Mostly, of course, ironically, it's you know, the left that's complaining. They want to dox this guy. You literally have Democrat, liberal, progressive commentators and accounts saying, oh, how dare you? They wanted to dox J.D. Vance because I guess they want him somebody to show up at his house, you know, maybe with a gun like they did to Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah. Yeah. Or like they do to Donald Trump because that's what they like to do. They want to. Or like they did to the Republican baseball practice. So it's like, oh, no, it's a censorship issue. Are you sure you just don't want some psychotic leftist to show up with a gun? Because, you know, that's what you guys are into. You sure? Representative Clay Higgins makes Trump look polite with jaw-dropping comment about Haitians, nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere. Well, he's not wrong, but is that the sharpest-dressed man in Congress? Or am I that? Wow, Clay Higgins knows how to dress. All right, we got through a lot of it. We got more. We're going to take a 21-hour break. That does it for the InfoWars War Room today. We'll be under 40 days till the election, folks. I mean, we are heating up.